American Journal. We're excited to have you here. Happy Friday. A lot to kick off, a lot to dive into. A lot actually happened last night. It was a very violent night in Portland. Independent journalist Nick Sorter was actually arrested yesterday. Now I'm told by sources that he was just recently released. I'll bring you the very latest on that. I was also on the phone with the jail where he was being housed, and I'll tell you what they told me. Plus, we're waiting for Diddy to be sentenced. He's expected to be sentenced today on prostitution charges. We're waiting for that to begin. The hearing was expected to begin at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So we should be finding out how long he's being sent to prison for. I'll also talk to you about the letter he just sent over to the judge, because he's begging and pleading, as you would assume, for leniency. And we'll see if the judge complies with that. Plus, also in the show today, we're going to be joined by Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, which we're very excited about. She'll be joining us to talk about all the left-wing violence, but most importantly, Antifa, because she's been one of the very few people to kind of jump into all of this and to come out and call out the violent terrorists that they actually are. And it's interesting to see what's unraveling both in Portland and what the White House is doing about all of this. Obviously, President Trump taking the Antifa threat very seriously now, but we're not seeing much in Congress. And so I'm going to ask her about that, plus, you know, a little bit more. But we're going to be having that great conversation in about an hour. Plus, I'll also be joined by another good person. Matt Marston is going to be joining the program today. We've got a lot to talk about because Netflix was trying its very best to target children. They do this time and time again, but this time they are trying to brainwash children through their cartoons to accept the transgender lifestyle. It's pretty, well, you'll have to see it, I guess. Matt is calling it out. Obviously, he is a father. I think he's got like 6 or 7 kids, so he's not very happy about this. So he'll be joining me to sound off in a little as well. We'll also be taking your calls later on in the program, so we're going to hear from all of you, which I'm excited about. But there's a couple of stories that aren't on the mainstream media narrative's radar, and we're going to be diving into that, especially what's going on right now in Spain, because in Spain, they are actually targeting one priest and potentially sentencing him to 3 years in prison for speaking out against Islam. Yeah, that's happening right now. It's pretty disturbing that this is what our world has turned to, but this is what's going on right now. Peacemakers, people who just believe in spreading the word, are potentially going to prison. We're also going to talk about that terror attack that you saw yesterday in the UK. Oddly enough, the suspect, who's now dead, well, apparently, not even a suspect, he's the terrorist. He has a very interesting name, a very, very interesting name. So I'll bring you those details too. So a lot we're kicking off with, a lot we're diving into. Actually, I just got a notification that Bill Mnuchin of Fox News actually just spoke to Nick Sorter. Now, Nick has been released from custody, according to Bill. He says that Nick has been charged with disorderly conduct. When Bill asked what happened specifically, he says he was getting video of protesters getting maced by federal agents, which was embarrassing for them, and they were crying. He says they began to get really upset about it. They swarmed him, pushed him down and into a flower bed, and someone threw a punch. Nick says he swung back and missed, and then it looks like Portland police then arrested him. So the group, apparently Antifa, walked over to Portland police, and then he was arrested. So, again, this is Nick being targeted. I mean, obviously, Nick is not a violent person. You know, he has a Sunday show on this program, on this network, and this shouldn't be happening to Nick. Now, I've reached out to Nick. I texted him. I'm sure he's very busy right now since he's just been released. But I'll bring you the very latest, because I called the jail, as I always do. When one of our own gets arrested, I always call. I always try to check in on them. I always try to get their word out. So I did do just that, and I'll let you know what the jail told me. So we've got a lot underway happening on the American Journal today. So do not go anywhere. We've got tons of more stories to dive into, which I am very, very excited for. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome to The American Journal. Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. We're excited that you are all here. Oh, it's been a very busy night, especially for those in Portland. It's been a violent one. I'm very upset to hear that my buddy Nick Sorter was arrested in Portland. I'll bring you the very latest in just a few moments because I called the jail to check in on him to make sure he was okay, and I'll tell you what I heard from that. But we've got a big show lined up for you today. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene will be joining the program because she's been sounding off about this left-wing violence that we've witnessed over these last, I don't know, let's just go with like 5 years. Play nice. We'll say 5 years. She's been one of the very few trying to call out Antifa and get them flagged as a domestic terrorist organization, but if there's a lot of resistance. It is quite strange because her colleagues really didn't want to move on that issue. She's presented legislation time and time again. I think she's done it twice now. And they don't seem to want to make a move on it. So President Trump signed an executive order designating Antifa as a terrorist organization. But why can't we get this signed into law? Well, she'll be joining me later today to discuss. We are very excited about that. But we've got a lot of stories that we're going to be exposing for you today because the mainstream media doesn't want you paying attention to this. But I've got my eyes all over the place right now. And there's a specific story actually in Spain that is deeply, deeply concerning. It involves a priest who's looking at potentially 3 years in prison just for exposing Islam and literally reading from the Quran and exposing the violence within the Quran. So now he's potentially going to be sent to prison for 3 years. I'll bring you the latest on that in just a few moments. But we're waiting to see right now Diddy, because Diddy is having a sentencing hearing. And I think that is a very key point that I want to keep mentioning because Diddy right now is looking at a very long time in prison, over a decade, and it's on prostitution charges. He wasn't convicted on the RICO charge, which the government really did a poor job at kind of trying its best to, or even trying its best is a nice way to put it. The government did a really lousy job at trying to make its case against Diddy regarding RICO. And so he right now is pleading with the judge to not sentence him to a stiff penalty, but it's not looking good for him. Prosecutors are recommending 11 years in prison. 11. And so we will keep you updated. I got all eyes on that one because when that breaks, we look forward to bringing you the very latest. But let's bring things back to Portland because that's where everything happened last night. So many independent journalists are on the ground there and they're trying their very best to expose what's been going on in Portland. And sadly for Nick Sorter, he learned the very hard way and he was arrested last night. Nick Sorter was arrested and according to Bill Mnuchin from Fox News, he was arrested for disorderly conduct. Now, Bill says he got off the phone with Nick just moments ago because Nick has officially been released. And Nick tells him that he was arrested after he got into a little bit of a scruffle with Antifa. Now, Antifa apparently pushed him and then someone punched him. And then when Nick swung back, he apparently missed. And then the group walked over to Portland PD because obviously liberal cities, Portland PD works for them, not the actual American people. And so they arrested Nick. Now, Nick saw this coming. He actually posted about it yesterday saying that if he's in a situation where he has to defend himself because he was assaulted the night before by what appeared to be a woman. But Nick's saying that if I'm going to be in a situation and I have to defend myself, I will likely go to prison. They will likely try to arrest me. I'll go to jail. And that's exactly what Portland PD did. They arrested Nick and they carted him off to jail. And I called the jail where he was being housed at and I asked them what's going on with Nick. Can I speak with him? And usually they do let you speak with the individuals who they have in custody, but they said, don't worry about it. He's coming out soon. He's going to be given a court date and then he'll be released. And so it looks like just moments ago, Nick Sorter has been released. As many of you guys know, he has a show on this network on Sundays. And so obviously we are all very close with Nick, and this should have never happened in the first place because he does incredible work as an independent journalist, and terrorist organizations like Antifa do not like that. And so that's why he is a target. But also, Nick is a patriot, most importantly. And apparently, Nick saw a group of Antifa members burning the American flag. Take a look at this video. Nick obviously gets really upset, like any normal patriot would. He grabs it and tries to put out the fire. Nick is one of the many Americans who've had enough of watching this ridiculous nonsense unravel in Portland. And he's front and center in this fight. Obviously a patriot because he's not going to watch the American flag get burned by a group of cowards. And so he stepped in to put out the flames. But again, that's the reason why they went after him. Take a look at this video. He actually got into a scuffle last night, and this is what he was alluding to. It looks like they're actually jumping him. That's what it looks like from afar. Now, it's really hard to kind of make it out, although Nick has a colorful shirt on compared to the rest. It's very obvious that they continuously are going after Nick, getting around him and trying their very best to go after him. But Nick, I know him personally. We've met up. Like, this is a very peaceful guy. I know he's not throwing the first punch, but I also know he's not afraid to defend himself. So to those cowardly Antifa members, you think you won, but you didn't. We're all going to force the federal government to respond to this because enough is enough. Enough is enough. We reported yesterday, obviously, that Katie Davis Court was hit with the pole. And then when she turned to Portland police and asked them to arrest because the suspect was right in front of her, right in front of the officer, the suspect got away. The suspect got away because, well, Portland police let them get away. At first, the officer did grab the suspect. But then another individual said, oh, no, I'm a lawyer. Don't touch her. And like the coward the cop was, he released the individual. Now Portland police are looking for that suspect. But it's too late. Katie now has a black eye from all of this. Look, I mean, cowards, absolute cowards. And obviously, yes, the police in Portland have gotten a beat down by these terrorists. But what do you do when you're a member of law enforcement? Well, if you decide to keep that job, you probably should enforce the law. If you're tired of these left-wing terrorists destroying your city, you probably should fight back. But Portland police, just like so many other liberal cities, has just decided to let it go. Let it go. Again, this shouldn't be happening in the first place, but it is. Antifa is a terrorist organization. They are going after Americans. Anyone that wants to expose what they're doing, they will target. And we know law enforcement in the area are a group of cowards. And in fact, we have a soundbite that we want to play for you because yesterday Fox News actually spoke with the ICE director that's over there right now in Portland. And they described how there's like a bubble where Portland police won't even respond to any issues in the area. Take a listen.
They're not really supposed to respond to this building.
Mm-hmm.
There have been folks that have been assaulted right down here on the street, even across the street, and it takes Portland police a while to respond, or sometimes they don't respond at all.
Is that frustrating?
It is frustrating. It's frustrating for us to watch people be attacked on the street and know that we don't have the authority to be able to really step in unless there's some nexus to federal law.
Mm-hmm.
That's frustrating for us.
And last night we did see multiple verbal scuffles almost get to the point of physical confrontations, all while the Portland police liaisons were standing just across the street watching everything but deciding not to intervene. And that in part is why President Trump has said he is sending the National Guard here to Portland. He says the locals aren't doing their job when it comes to protecting this federal facility, so he's going to send the military in. But as of this morning, as you can see, the National Guard not out here just yet. We'll send it back to you.
All right. We'll be watching.
Yeah, obviously we need the National Guard over there. But the reality of it is you have a mayor in Portland who continues to go out there and say, oh, no, we don't need any federal assistance. We've got this. We've got this. What's their idea of being able to protect the community? That's what I would like to know. I would like someone to ask that question. Because for years they failed. And they're intentionally failing. See, this is what they want. They want to create this chaos. They want to go after those who are just trying to do their jobs, report on it. You see, Portland police had no problem going out there and slapping the handcuffs on Nick's order, because Nick is exposing how horrific things are right now for local PD. But if you're a member of the Antifa terrorist organization, well, they'll work with you. I mean, the fact that a member of Antifa was so bold to go up to a Portland officer who they were just advocating to defund, the Portland police, just a couple of years ago, abolish the police, they said. Oh no, now I have to report something to the police. And then they run over there. These creatures that come out from their parents' basements need to be thrown in prison. No more quick appearances at the local jail. Throw them in prison. But there's a lot of Democrats that are also on the same page of all this. They're actually denying that there's crime in their cities, even though we all know that it has been consumed by crime. And we got a good one in clip two, because Tennessee State Representative Justin Person is the one who is now going out there. And he's actually, get this, saying, Pearson's saying, that Memphis, that's where he's representing, I believe. Memphis doesn't really have a crime problem. And the fact that there's federal resources now being sent there is President Trump trying to target the black community. Take a listen.
In your view, is the intervention of federal troops likely to assist local law enforcement in reducing crime in Memphis in a meaningful way? And is it worth the trade-offs?
This is not going to help reduce crime in a meaningful way, and this doesn't have anything to do with crime. It's perpetuating the idea of black criminality, and from a government perspective, black inferiority as it relates to self-government and our inability, according to this administration and Governor Bill Lee and Cameron Sexton and the leaders of the Republican Party in Tennessee, of our ability to be able to self-govern.
Pearson. He's one of the many socialists that they call themselves, but they're actually communists, who continues to go out there and lie. Race bait lie. Not very intelligent. Kind of stupid. But cable news gives him a platform. So here he goes. The reality of it is, who is the victim of black crimes? Well, largely, it's innocent black Americans. But you got to protect your criminals, especially if you want to remain a Democrat nowadays. But they hate the stats. That's why they've been altering them for the last 4 years. I was going to go pull up all these FBI stats regarding crime to prove that this is actually an issue in Memphis. But then again, we know that for the last 4 years now, they've intentionally been altering crime stats, and they've been wrongfully labeling minorities as white people because they don't want you to talk about the crime issues. They don't like the fact the numbers tell the truth. So you have to alter the truth somehow, and the best way to do so is by making sure that the numbers are inaccurate. So right now, we can't pull accurate numbers in regards to race and crime. That was all intentional. It was a part of the Marxist agenda. And we're seeing it all unravel today, and that's why you see people like that individual. Harrison is out here playing the victim card when the actual victims are black Americans. But look the other way. Don't talk about that. Don't give victims an actual platform. That's why Democrats are continuously losing elections. If they're not stealing them, they're losing them. And it's because they don't side with the American people. And people are done with it. We've seen it all. And again, I'm not saying one party's better than the other. One party's a little bit better than the other. But not by much. Not by much. There was also something really interesting that happened yesterday as well. And it's pertaining President Trump sending the, as you heard, the National Guard to Portland. Now, obviously, there's a legal challenge underway right now. The state is challenging that. And interesting enough, the judge, Judge Simon's wife, is actually a U.S. Congresswoman from Oregon. So the judge was asked by the DOJ to recuse himself because he was overseeing the deployment of the National Guard. And his own wife was very vocal of how she didn't approve of this. And so the DOJ actually asked for him to recuse himself, and he did yesterday, making that record now, officially the record. He has recused himself, and now there is a Trump-appointed judge who has been reassigned to this case. That's some good news. We don't get much these days. We'll take that. We'll take that. They didn't have to fight back much on that front. I mean, I know the judge probably knew that was going to be grounds for an appeal, but it's good to hear. It's good to hear. So we'll take our victories when we can. And that is a big one. Now I want to turn again because we're watching to see when the sentencing of P. Diddy drops. And it's going to drop in just a few moments. Now, according to my sources, they say it could last a couple of hours, the sentencing hearing. This hearing just started about 20 minutes ago in New York City. So we're waiting for that to come out. But Diddy did send a letter to the judge, and he's begging for mercy. Begging for mercy, as one would assume. He's admitting that my domestic violence will always be a heavy burden that I will forever carry. The remorse, the sorrow, the regrets, the disappointment, the shame. I honestly feel sorry for something that I couldn't forgive someone else for. They put their hands on my daughters. This is why it is so hard for me to forgive myself. It is like a deep wound that leaves an ugly scar. Your Honor, I thought I was providing for Jane, which was Jane Doe. That was his girlfriend. They wouldn't give you her name, though, during the court hearings concerning her and her child. But after hearing her testimony, I realized that I hurt her. For this, I am deeply sorry. So that is Diddy now coming out and apologizing for his actions. Now, we don't know if he wrote that. Looks like it's a typed up letter. But I preferred a handwritten letter to show that he did. But again, this is what's happening right now. So we're waiting outside of the courtroom right now to see how long Diddy is going to prison for. Again, thanks to Maureen Comey, James Comey's daughter, there was no RICO case. They tried. According to them, they tried. They actually made a better argument against Cassie, his girlfriend, in regards to sex trafficking than they did for Diddy himself. I mean, I literally was watching, and this is what's so unfortunate, and I want this to change deeply. I want this to change because while we see all these stories coming out and we see all these court cases that are going through the federal courts, we should be able to see the court cases. I mean, why aren't we getting access to view what's going on in these courtrooms? We need transparency. And again, it depends. Some court cases are public. It depends on where you are. Yes, I get that. But there's no reason for that in 2025. Because if the American people saw what happened in that trial, you would have been infuriated. As I'm watching the updates come in, I'm watching as they're just sitting here and not making a RICO case, not making that valid argument. You should be able to see Diddy's face while all these accusations are coming out. And again, they're claiming sex trafficking. That's what their original claim was against Diddy, which they did not convict him on. Sex trafficking is strange, right? Because then you'd have to admit that you trafficked individuals in certain states. And that's not the case. They actually made a stronger case against Cassie. Cassie, his girlfriend, who he beats, and obviously that is a horrific crime to commit, but his own ex-girlfriend was on the stand, and she openly admitted that, yeah, she would actually get to pick a lot of these guys who would come in. And Diddy's lawyers actually showed text messages between the two, and in one of those text messages, it actually said specifically that to their sex parties that she actually wanted to bring in a girl instead of guy. And she was the one in charge of paying, apparently in cash. Now, again, the cash obviously came from Diddy, but you'd have to actually be able to prove, which they couldn't, that Diddy knowingly gave her that cash for prostitutes. How do you prove that? It's a girlfriend. He's a billionaire. You wouldn't be able to prove that. Because, again, they weren't able to prove that, I should say. And the RICO case is so insane. The fact that they slapped him with RICO tells you everything you need to know, right? Because they weren't able to tell you who was a part of his criminal enterprise. He's the only one charged. So one person ran an entire criminal enterprise? No, that's not the case. And RICO is a really tough argument to make. I've asked many attorneys, and they all say when you slap someone with a RICO case, it's really hard for prosecutors to prove. Because most lawyers can't even describe what RICO is. And so, yeah, you have this now. We're waiting to see how long he's going to be sentenced to, but I mean, he's a first-time offender. Obviously, he was accused of a shooting with J-Lo back in the day. Back in the day. I was a kid when that happened. Had no idea what was going on. Like, no, don't. And you have no idea what's going on. And actually, many people did come forward and testify against Diddy that they had very similar issues with him regarding death threats and other threats. But the statue's up. Even that video footage you saw, if you're wondering, well, why didn't they charge him with domestic violence? The statue is up. And according to court records, Cassie was not cooperative when they were trying to look into it, which is common, especially with domestic violence cases. And so it's not surprising that that was the case. But again, that footage, and this was the interesting part, which I think is so crazy to me. Okay, you see the footage there. Obviously, they took years to release it, and I want to know why that's the case, because obviously someone had it and was waiting for the perfect opportunity to drop it publicly. They gave that to CNN, of course. But when they finally released the footage, we saw how evil that man was. Now, according to an individual who spoke and testified, he was a security guard there at the time. He's actually a member of law enforcement. He was paid cash to shut up about this and not say anything. He was paid cash. And now he's a member of law enforcement. Doesn't that, in LA especially, doesn't that seem like someone who should not be an officer, someone who is openly admitting to taking a bribe, to silencing and not coming forward about a domestic dispute, a physical domestic dispute? Well, now he's a member of LA law enforcement. And at the time when he testified, he had a job. He had a job. So this runs deep, mainly because we haven't heard about who was involved in all of this, and the timing of it was quite strange, and they keep saying that there was these video recordings, and that he would blackmail people with these video recordings, but they never told you what celebrities were on those video recordings. And if you know anything about Diddy, you know he throws a party with all the biggest celebrities present. So, who was in the footage? And does the government have access to that footage? I think it's strange because, you know, once this case started coming together, especially after the raid, all of a sudden Kamala Harris is getting endorsements. I wonder why that is. And I remember seeing a quote that Usher, the R&B singer, didn't want to come forward or do any endorsements, was going to stay out of it. And then all of a sudden, someone who was very close to Diddy, in fact, when he was a minor, was staying at Diddy's house. Well, then he endorsed Kamala Harris. It's also worth noting, and sorry to tell you this early in the morning, but Diddy and Cassie were accused of giving a stripper herpes. Now, that stripper did apparently get a settlement. He was actually one of the individuals who was alleged to have shot up a hotel, the Trump Hotel in Miami. But then it gets even worse because somebody else who was accused of it, there's court records of it, but we don't know exactly if it's true. There were settlements that were apparently made, but that was by insurance companies. But Usher was also accused by multiple people of giving them herpes. So just something to throw out there on this beautiful Friday morning. Hopefully we're not eating for that. We've got a lot more stories to cover in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. There's more to dive into on the American Journal.
The Last Stand Super Sale. InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week. Today or tomorrow, actually. Or even today. That's why we are launching this Last Stand Super Sale to fund the next operation and keep us in the fight in the information war. Buy any supplement at theoliveshowstore.com that's still funding InfoWars and get another bottle free while supplies last. That's a huge, biggest sell we can do. Plus, get 20% off store-wide. Woo. We've never done a sale. Actually, I'm reading this now. I've been so busy. I looked at the sale. This is the biggest sale ever. We've never done a sale this big, but we need your support now more than ever. Plus, some of this stuff's a lost leader. We know when you try the Ultimate Flame Blue, the Shilajit, the Ultimate Life Force, the Bovine Colostrum, we've got the best. If we have 80%+ reorder rates on this stuff, nobody's got that, folks. Just try it. You're supporting the broadcast, and then you're going to love it. You're going to be hooked. It's why the drug dealers hand out OxyContin to kids on the school ground because they want to get them addicted. Well, that's poison. This is good. I just am telling you, will you please stick your toe in? The water's warm. This sale could at any moment, so go now to thealexjonesstore.com, which I don't own, which Bigley owns, and so they're funding InfoWars and the new backup network, everything, so they can't shut that down. Thealexjonesstore.com. And take advantage of this amazing sale while ensuring we will never be taken off the air, even if they shut down this operation. InfoWars is just a name, but the InfoWar goes on. Remember, you are the InfoWar. Plus, download. Now, here's the big announcement. Bigley, again, owns the Alex Jones Network, all of it. And they launched this incredible app that shot up into the top of the charts in hours after being launched. I haven't looked since last night. But, you know, used to we had the number one app, remember, until they banned it. Number one in news. You think they like that? Well, we're back, sweethearts. And, and you'll ban this app. Watch what happens. You'll get a nice little Justice Department investigation. You're in a different wheelhouse now. You go to AlexJonesApp.com, AlexJones app.com. Boy, the sound of that name. Alex Jones. The Satanists don't like it. It's like high noon to vampires. App users get special sales, promos, and discounts every day as well. But listen to the show for free, video, audio, all of it at the URL that the globalists and the pedos and the Satanists hate. AlexJonesApp.com. Be sure to get the app right now, folks, and share it right now. When you support us, when you go to the AlexJonesStore.com, you aren't just funding this information that's key to the world. You're keeping us in the fight, and the enemy cannot stand it.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
With your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you are all here. Happy Friday, everyone. A lot happening all around the world, as we started off the show with. A lot happening in Portland. We're going to keep diving into all of that. I'll also be joined by Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene in just a few moments, because, folks, interesting enough, she has been one of the very few calling out Antifa as the domestic violence terrorists that we all know that they are. They are all domestic terrorists. And unfortunately, though, we don't have a federal government that is really on board with going out there and calling them out. We do have, though, a president that is fearless and did issue an executive order. But the reality is, you know, MTG has been fighting this battle and has been trying her very best to get them designated as a terrorist organization. And a lot of the times that she has done that, the legislation just sits there and nobody wants to touch it. So she's going to be joining us in just a few moments because she's brave enough to take on that fight. But speaking about big fights that the rest of us are going to take on, I got to dive into the story because this one's really, really interesting. Now, the New York Post, Miranda Devine, she's an incredible journalist, many of you already know. She has a great podcast, and I love seeing the guests that she gets because she gets amazing guests. And she got a really great one, and they weren't shy about discussing Jeffrey Epstein. The Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, joined her show and really called out those who we all believe were involved with Jeffrey Epstein, but he details what his personal beliefs are. Take a listen.
I mean, that's an incredible story that you could pick up that he was a pervert.
He
It's gross. The guy's gross. Right with my wife. He's gross. The guy's gross. This was not, ooh, the deep nuance of Howard Lutnick. This guy's gross.
Right. So how come Bill Gates and all these other people could hang around him and not see what you saw? Or did they see it and ignore it? Or
no, they participated.
Right.
That's what his MO was, you know, get a massage. And what happened in that massage room, I assume, was on video. This guy was the greatest blackmailer ever. Blackmailed people. That's how he had money. So
what happened to those videos? Why is there now such a dearth of information when, you know, Donald Trump's people are running the FBI and the DOJ?
I assume way back when they traded those videos in exchange for him getting that 18-month sentence, which allowed him to have visits and be out of jail. I mean, he's a serial sex offender. How could he get 18 months and be able to go to his office during the day and have visitors and stuff? It must have been a trade. So my assumption, I have no knowledge, but my assumption is there was a trade for the videos because there were people on those videos.
And have you talked to Donald Trump about this and shared your theory?
No, I mean, he knows the story.
Right.
But my story, that, you know, I was the one and done with the guy. He knows that story, but that's it.
It's impressive to see someone call it all out. I have to say, many people don't want to call it the videos anymore. Everyone suddenly is silent on that issue. But finally, someone, the voice of reason, a former neighbor of Epstein's, is calling it out. And this is really, really important that we do just that. Again, this is an issue that's not going anywhere anytime soon. Now, listen, I don't think President Trump is lying to us. I really don't think that. I think at this point, a lot of the evidence had to have been deleted or just taken away from people like Kash Patel, Director Kash Patel. I just cannot imagine a situation where President Trump, who has laid out the commitment several times before that he was going to release everything, has now suddenly shifted gears. He knows his group, his MAGA base is going to hold him accountable on that. Now, again, there are people at the FBI who we trust, but most I don't. So on this issue, I would say that probably all of the evidence that you would want to see is probably gone. I could not imagine the former FBI director leaving all of that around for the new director to take over. They had months to prepare for this. And I think that's exactly what they did. So, yes, we're going to still demand answers and accountability, and we're going to still say, where's all the evidence? But more and more is coming out, and we're thankful for that. But again, we're not even asking to see the tapes. We're just asking to see who the people were on the tapes. Who were the men on the tapes? We want to know who they have blackmail on. Now, we have our suspicions. But again, I'm a woman about the facts. And until I see it myself, the list itself, I don't want to see the nasty videos, then I'm going to hold back a little bit and not be as aggressive on this issue, because I want to assume that President Trump really does have our best interest. Now, how he's handled this topic is not good. Not good. Whoever's giving him PR advice is just doing a horrible job. But again, this is an issue that's not going anywhere anytime soon. And we will continue to hold his feet to the fire as well as others, because we want answers. I want to give you an update on the terror attack that took place yesterday in the UK. Manchester police shot and killed the terrorist who rammed his car and began stabbing people outside of a synagogue on Yom Kippur. Obviously, folks, that's the holiest day of the year for them. The attack left two people dead, several people badly injured. The incident unfolded yesterday morning, as we reported. And the worst part about it is the individual's name. Now, they're saying that his background is Syrian, but he's a British citizen. And it gets even worse. His first name is actually Jihad. Now, if the name Jihad doesn't land you on a terror watch list, I don't even know what to do anymore. And we currently have no word on those things that you saw attached to him, whether those were explosives or just display, like he was going to do something. I was actually just surprised that they released his name. Because most of the time, you actually don't get that from British police. They do more to protect them, of course. But again, he is a citizen. And according to some of the reports I saw, he was born in the UK. But you know, when I talk to people like Amy Mack, they always say that those are the most dangerous people, are the ones that were actually born here. So, for example, I mean, in the UK, that's a lot of them. So again, Syrian, but apparently was born in the UK. This is what's going on in our world these days. This is what's going on. And the video is absolutely heartbreaking. No one deserves this. No one deserves this. But this is what happens when you open your country up to Islam. Yesterday, it was Jews being attacked. On Christmas, it could be Christians being ran over during their parade. Hindus. And there's always one consistency. Let's turn to the war on the drug cartels, because President Trump has just issued a memo to Congress yesterday declaring the United States now engaged in a non-intentional armed conflict with the drug cartels, which officials say is only justifiable now because we've designated these cartels as terrorist organizations. Instead of the president going out there and saying, yeah, we're at war with the drug cartels. And obviously that has the mainstream media clutching their pearls because they're so outraged that this president would be going out there and defending this country and going after those who are poisoning the American people. Now, again, I am so heartbroken because I was driving to the gym the other day in Austin. And to see the amount of women who are just homeless, living on the street, using drugs, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And they're young women. And I think that's probably the worst of it. Obviously, it's bad when you see men, but women, because you know that they're going to be victimized on the streets and they should not be on the streets. But what they've done to this country, poisoning people, poisoning Americans, is absolutely disgusting. I know I actually saw, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Alex Jones actually took a video of one homeless person or just drug user who was living in the streets, it looked like. And it was just so heartbreaking to see. This is what they've done to this country. And the left doesn't care. The left doesn't care. The left, in fact, is angry that President Trump is going out there and nuking these boats that are trying to come onto our shores and poison our people. Thousands of Americans killed every year. Those directly and indirectly just happen to come in contact with fentanyl, dead. And the government for far too long has just allowed it to happen, But now President Trump is blowing these boats up when they are trying to come onto our shores and poison our people. Because we care about American lives. And for far too long, these narco-terrorists have been destroying this country by bringing their venom to our country. And finally, President Trump and others get it. You know, they thought it was crazy when there were reports that in President Trump's first administration that he was going to go out there and start attacking the cartels. He can't do that. Well, how many Americans need to die by the drugs they've continuously brought into this country before we say, yeah, we probably should do that. Probably should go after the people that are poisoning our people. It's all intentional. We talk about it all the time when it comes to China, China's role in all of this, although they're not directly sending us fentanyl. They do send those products to these cartels. And then obviously it gets brought here into the United States. President Trump in his first administration was very, very tough on China when it came to that. And although China pretended like they were no longer going to be doing it, obviously they were figuring out creative ways to go around it. And so now we are officially at war with the drug cartels. The memo explains that President Trump ordered these actions in line with his duties to safeguard Americans and U.S. interests abroad while advancing national security and foreign policy goals under his constitutional powers as commander-in-chief. You'd love to see it. You'd love to see it. Because this has gone on for far too long. This has gone on for far too long. And we're finally putting an end to this. The American people deserve better. you deserve better. Your loved ones deserve better. You know, I was watching this video too. It was a cop. I don't know where though specifically, but it was a cop who had apprehended an individual who had fentanyl in them. They had somehow came in contact with them. And my heart broke because they have to give him Narcan. And the officer who's being poisoned by the fentanyl knows that they're being poisoned by the fentanyl, but is struggling to breathe. And it could just be panic knowing that they came in contact with it. But they're saying, give me the fentanyl. I mean, give me the Narcan. And so their colleague runs, grabs Narcan, give me another one. And thankfully that officer is safe, but I could never imagine how horrifying that must be. The children who have been killed just by coming in contact with it. This war with cartels is long overdue. Is long overdue. And it's the reason why we elected President Donald Trump. So that is one of the many good things happening with the Trump administration. We could be critical, but we should also celebrate when they do something great. And I think this is great. I think this is long overdue. And anyone who's telling you that this is not what he should be doing, this goes against his powers as president, well, you should probably look at their bank accounts. Because it's likely they're being paid off by the cartels directly. Speaking of cartels, Kilmar Garcia. Now, this is an individual who was accused of human trafficking. He's also been accused of being a gang member. I believe it was the administration has accused him. Let me not quote which gang it is specifically until I figure that one out again. But he has been accused of being a gang member, which he has denied. But there's been plenty of evidence that he is a part of a gang. He's affiliated with a gang. So he was once deported. Okay, MS-13, I know. So you don't want to accuse him of being a part of the wrong set. He was deported. We shipped him out, went off to El Salvador to be with his people. And then for some reason, the administration brought him back in because I think they might have known that they were going to get in some legal trouble for deporting him without having his day in court. And Garcia, I mean, although they sit there and they'll tell you, oh, he's a family guy, he's a father, he's a Maryland man. He's none of that. In fact, his own wife was afraid of him. We have the court documents to prove just that. Just that. So now it looks like he keeps getting shut down. The government is no longer going to keep allowing this to happen with him in regards to trying his best to get his asylum bid brought back in. He was denied asylum previously, but now he's trying to get it back, but it's too late. Garcia's final order of deportation is being upheld. And then they're trying to find a place to send him. Now, his lawyers, because obviously, you know, all these liberal groups now are going to be pouring in all these attorneys to represent him, so he's got a good legal team. They actually, every time the government tries to present a country they want to send him to, they say, no, his life's at risk. He can't go there. So I think the latest country he might be sent off to is Uganda, which I hear is beautiful this time of year. But it's time to get rid of this guy. I don't think we should have brought him back in. I mean, his country, which is El Salvador, didn't want to release him. That's all we need. That's all we need. I mean, the president of El Salvador literally said, he's fine here. This is his country. This is where he's from. This is where his citizenship is. But the media did a great job at lying to people, and they truly believe that this was a man who was legitimately trying to claim asylum. In 2019, he was denied asylum. But now he's facing accusations and charges regarding human trafficking. This is like their poster boy. They love this guy. This is how low it is for the Democrats, right? Because like you probably would say, oh, we probably shouldn't side with this person. Like this person is a problem. He's got a really bad background. But Democrats are all in. They're like, no, this is our guy. This is the best one we could find. The rest of them are worse criminals than this guy is. Let's run with it. Let's have a margarita with this guy. Now he denies again being a part of MS-13. But there's tattoos that prove that he might actually be a part of the gang. So again, this is what's going on right now. Hopefully that deportation happens. But let's give you some more positive news. Why not? It's Friday. There's a report out by MSNBC, and it's worth flagging for all of you because it's a good one. It's a good victory. It's a good victory. FBI Director Kash Patel fired an agent in training for displaying a gay pride flag on his desk while appointed to a field office in California last year. The trainee, who previously worked as an FBI support specialist in Los Angeles, received a letter dated October 1st and actually signed by Patel, claiming he displayed an improper political message in the workplace during his assignment in California under Joe Biden. And that's why he was being tossed. The letter cited President Donald Trump's Article 3 powers, Article 2 powers under the Constitution to display or to dismiss federal agents, career personnel. And again, this is just one of many FBI agents who has recently been released. And the worst part about this is there's a lot of them who have been released. I know that Kash Patel is trying to purge through the filth at the FBI, the political filth, the hacks who have taken these roles on just to benefit their political alignment to the Democrats. And he is. I report, I believe his name is Elvis Chan, the guy who went around censoring and going to big tech companies and going after them, telling them to censor conservatives and pressuring them, that he was fired. But he was let go, I should say. According to people close to the issue, they say that he was able to get his retirement benefits. But they are trying their best to get rid of these people. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard because Democrats have strategically put these people in positions of power. Certain field offices are being ran by people who just literally had Trump-hating posts online. And so they strategically put them in positions of power so that Democrats could utilize them whenever they needed to, because they pledged their alliance. So again, Elvis Chen looks like has been removed. I broke that story to you guys exclusively on the independentnewsroom.com. And that's one of the many stories that we brought to you. But also, folks, it just goes to show Kash Patel is trying. And don't sit here and think that I am falling on the sword for the FBI. Obviously, I've been very critical, but I think on this front, he is trying. All my sources, and here's the other thing I should mention. When you try to confirm these things with the FBI, they can't tell you because of it's personnel information. They could actually be sued. So you strongly are relying on leakers and strongly relying on the people who are being fired to come forward and give their letter over to MSNBC. So yeah, he's probably going to try to sue for discrimination. But the FBI could drag that on for years. We've seen them do it to whistleblowers, drag on lawsuits for almost a decade before having to conclude any of them. So you might as well do it to these people too. You might as well. I couldn't even imagine. Thanks, guys, for getting this one up. I couldn't even imagine what it's like to have to work in an environment that's supposed to be non-political. And then you have someone bragging about the type of sex they like to have on their desk with a flag waving. There's no reason for it. Any other place, normal place, sane place, not run by liberals, you would get fired for that. But when you work for the government, there's a separate set of standards that you need to have. And so all of these people are mainstream media trying to have more empathy for those who are being fired. I'm here to tell you that actually it's a great thing. It truly is. There's been more people who have been fired. Again, people who like just got a job because they're DEI hires, they're being either demoted or tossed out. And remember, we reported, I believe it was last week, those FBI agents who took a knee, those BLM terrorists back in 2020. They were at first actually put on different duties, so they were relocated. And then according to reports, they have now been fired. This is what you want from your FBI. This is what you want. You want these people tossed out. Because you know, in a heartbeat, that these people are the ones who are going to go after you for hate speech. Because you said something mean about Democrats. So this is good news. This is good news. Give credit when credit's due. We're all on board for that. All right, the government shutdown, obviously, is still ongoing. We're going to talk to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene about that shortly. But there's a lot of fear-mongering going on amongst Democrats. A lot of it. And in fact, they don't want you talking about it. But it's interesting to see and hear who it is actually going to affect. And we're going to play clip four for you because, again, this is highlighting what these government shutdowns actually mean for low-income Americans. Take a listen.
The government shutdown could mean a federal program that provides food assistance to low-income mothers and children could run out of money in days. Sources tell CNN White House Budget Chief Russ Vogt warned House Republicans yesterday it could happen by next week. The most recent government data shows that nearly 7 million women, infants, and children were eligible, for WIC benefits. Folks are really concerned about, in the long run, can they rely on this program to get their needs met? We know that for babies, WIC provides 100% of their nutritional needs, whether that's supporting their mom with lactation consulting if they're breastfeeding or providing potentially medical specialty infant formula. So that could be a real crisis.
Folks, just to put this in perspective a little bit, Democrats are now going to be cutting programs that mothers actually utilize because they want to stick up for illegal aliens. That's the message that needs to be pushed. You see, if you won't put illegal aliens onto our health insurance, we're going to go after pregnant mothers. Mothers who have given birth, obviously, as well, and we're going to target them. I mean, this is what the Democratic Party is all about. Americans have become second-class citizens. They are no longer those who they are focused on anymore. In fact, it is all shifted now to their new voter base, which should not be voting, of course, but this is what's going on in this country. Democrats have completely abandoned Americans, and they're not afraid to show you that. That's why they're continuously saying people, not Americans, when it comes to health insurance. But, you know, we all support the idea that no, you should not be forced to take on this financial burden. And so that's what's going on right now. Folks, I want to remind you right now that we have an incredible sale going on over at the alexjonesstore.com. It's the last stand super sale. InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week or even today. That's why we're launching the last stand super sale to fund the next operation as we try to stay on air and give you the information that you need. But here's the good part in all of this, folks. You guys are going to reap the benefits of this. When you buy any supplement over at the alexjonesstore.com, you're going to get an extra bottle for free, only while supplies last. Plus, you're going to get 20% off the store. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Buy all of these items up because you know you need them. We all do. And they're only available for a limited time. So head on over there now.
We need a sense of urgency, people. This is it for everything, for the whole world's future. The West falls, it all falls. America falls, the West falls. Now listen, speaking of that, just like our information is the best, our product's the best, I need your financial support. They are literally in court tomorrow, and it may happen. This federal judge has ruled 10 times in a row for us because what they're doing is so criminal. But I don't know. It looks bad because a bunch of other stuff happened in state court. They don't own the Alex Jones channel, even they get this place. And it's funding the new network and everything. I need your support now. This is a fundraiser. Plus, the products are insane. We only sell stuff that really works good, ultramethylene blue. But right now, we have buy one bottle of the very best creatine you can get. It's the top private label, the top one, with this special patented micro creatine that's so much more powerful. Buy one already discounted. Ultimate creatine powder at thealexjonesstore.com and get a second bottle free. This is a flash sale, probably going 2 or 3 days because it's limited supply. Enhanced strength, muscular growth, improved mental stamina, that's the big one. Increased workout intensity, so good for your whole body and organs. Accelerated recovery. Get Ultimate Creatine Powder now. The BOGO Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're at it, we have the very best bovine colostrum. Don't know about that. It's all the rage. We've got the best. It's discounted. The best Irish sea moss, the best Shilajit, the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular system, ultimate life force, and the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and it funds the second American Revolution worldwide. The AlexJonesStore.com. Go now. Be part of history. I can't do it without you. I'm asking for your help. Firing the bat signal again. We are winning, but we reached the critical part of the battle. Support your own future now. I can't stop because I know we've already moved the needle. We've already hurt the globalist path. I've already tasted their blood. I'm not going down without victory. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go now. Be part of history.
American Journal. We're very excited that you are all here today as we kick off the second hour of this program. Happy Friday, everyone. A lot going on right now. I've got my eyes on the Diddy hearing that's happening right now. He is being sentenced right now in a New York City courtroom. We'll bring you the latest when that ruling finally does come down. But as many of you guys know, he was found not guilty on the RICO charges. He was found not guilty on the sex trafficking charges. So he's just looking at pretty much prostitution right now. And that is the main one here. We cited for you earlier in the show his letter that he handed over to the judge where he was pleading and begging for mercy. So we'll see if the judge is somewhat empathetic to Diddy. Again, we'll keep our eyes on that. It's not just that, folks. We also got our eyes on these left-wing terrorists that are going across the country and bringing a lot of violence to cities, especially in Portland. And Portland's been a very important angle to all of this, and we've tried our very best to cover it because Portland has for far too long abandoned the people there and has sided with the terrorists that have destroyed the city itself. And we saw yesterday Nick Sorter being arrested late last night. Now, he's since been released, but Nick was assaulted. And instead of going out there and going after those who have assaulted Nick, they instead went after Nick. And Nick actually called it yesterday. He actually tweeted about it. And so that is something we're going to be discussing today with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's going to be joining us in just a few moments. So we look forward to having her on this program because she's one of the very few people who has called out Antifa for the violence that they have created all across this country. And she's been brave enough to confront it. You know, so many politicians are afraid to talk about the violence regarding Antifa, and they're afraid because, well, they don't want them targeting them next. So they know what they actually do. They're just afraid to take on the issue itself. But she's not shying away from it. Neither is President Donald J. Trump, and we're very excited to have her on the program in just a few moments. But again, you know, Nick Sorter was out there trying to stop them from burning the American flag last night as well. We got that footage as well from Bill Mnuchin from Fox News. Nick is a patriot. He has a show on this program, obviously, on this network every Sunday. And we all know that Nick loves this country. And how dare Portland police arrest this man? Now, I called the jail. They did say that he was going to be charged. It looks like he has been charged with disorderly conduct. That's all we have right now. But I've reached out to Nick and we'll wait till we hear from him. But again, this isn't just Nick. Other journalists have gone out there and have been targeted and harassed. And so, again, this is deeply, deeply concerning. And we'll ask the congresswoman about this in just a few moments, right, when we come back from the commercial break in just a second. But, again, I want to continue to bring attention to this. Because for far too long, they have been targeting journalists, trying to expose the violence that they have been up to over these last few years. We'll just say five to be nice. Here in the United States, at least. And then we saw the post-millennial reporter also get assaulted. So again, this needs to be called out. They are increasingly becoming more violent. And sadly, Portland police have abandoned them. And I thought it was almost laughable. There wasn't so much violence towards these independent journalists. I would openly laugh at how there was the footage of that one Antifa member going to law enforcement to a Portland police officer to report Nick Sorter for defending himself. I mean, the people behind defund the police movement, abolish law enforcement. They didn't like police. Remember what they did during 2020? Went after the federal courthouses. Well, no surprise there. No surprise there. Now all of a sudden they like law enforcement because the police really aren't going after them. See, this is what we're noticing all across the world, even in the UK. They'd rather go after the easy targets, those who will not resist, those who won't fight back. And so making an arrest regarding Nick Sorter, yeah, that's an easier one to pick up. But going out there and holding these violent criminals accountable, they'd rather not. They'd rather not. And we saw that too. You know, when Katie Davis Court was trying to report to the officer that the suspect was right in front of her who just assaulted her, the officer grabbed the suspect and then released them quickly because I'm a lawyer, one of them screams. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene joining us in just 1 minute. So do not go anywhere. We have war underway.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your Ultramethylene Blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The second hour of the program with one of my favorite members of Congress. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is joining us today. She is one of the very few members of Congress that we have that's bold enough to take on the fight regarding Antifa. She's not afraid to call out the group as a terrorist organization, and she has presented legislation back in January of this year to do just that, and she joins us now. Congresswoman, thank you so much for joining the show. We're grateful to have you on today. Thank you. And, you know, we've been covering all day today because Nick Sorter is obviously a friend of ours. He has a show on this network. And we saw last night that he was not only assaulted, but then he was arrested after he responded to Antifa assaulting him. Your reaction to Portland police arresting Nick Sorter?
Well, it's absolutely outrageous. And I was watching the video clip that you played just before you brought me on before the commercial break, where it shows Nick actually taking the burning American flag and stomping it out. And this is an executive order that the president signed that you cannot burn the American flag. So it's extremely wrong that the Portland police arrested Nick Sorter instead of Antifa, who were the ones that were burning the American flag. And Brianna, what needs to happen is the Department of Justice needs to come in hard on the city of Portland with a major investigation into Nick Sorter, an independent journalist who was arrested. You talk about, that's something we see in communist countries. Journalists get arrested in communist countries and they allow anarchy and communism to reign. And Portland has done that. They have partnered with the National Lawyers Guild, which is responsible for bailing out Antifa over and over again as they have attacked the government and attacked law enforcement officers. And I do believe that Antifa is a domestic terrorist organization, and I have high expectation of Trump's Department of Justice of coming down hard on Portland and coming down hard on the police that arrested Nick Sorter.
Yeah, and I think that's really important because Nick Sorter is the second now independent journalist to be attacked in Portland over these last few nights, and they're becoming increasingly violent. But they claim, and I listen to the mainstream media too, just to hear what they're saying, but they claim that Antifa is not an actual organization and that the president is overstepping with that executive order, and that it actually, and they claim this, not me, that it infringes upon the First Amendment. What do you make of that argument?
Well, those are the lies that Antifa has told for years. I mean, you can trace this back well into President Trump's first administration. And even before that, we had Occupy Wall Street under President Obama. This is an organization that is well organized. They are well funded. And they are actually one of the biggest dangers, in America. They truly are. They are against the government. They are anarchist. They are self-admitted communists. And they want to tear our country apart. So I believe they're domestic terrorists. I introduced legislation to label them as domestic terrorists, and I fully support President Trump and the Department of Justice in launching a massive investigation and prosecutions into Antifa. Whoever supports them, those are elected officials, and whoever funds them.
Yeah, and Congressman, I want to talk about the legislation that you presented earlier this year. You've brought forward the legislation to designate them as a terrorist group, and I think that's really important that we do just that, because although President Trump did a great job at the executive order, if there's a Democrat that's in the next administration, they could just wipe that out and start from scratch again. Where does your legislation currently stand right now in the House?
Well, Brianna, you're bringing up something extremely important. Everything that President Trump is doing is temporary right now because Congress is not making it law. And this is a frustration of mine and an argument I'm having with our leadership in Congress, as well as some of those that actually serve in the White House. I believe that Congress's role in passing legislation, passing executive orders, passing bills is so critically important because we need that legislation to make it to the president's desk and signed into law. This includes everything from my legislation to make Antifa a domestic terrorist group, my legislation, Protect Children's Innocence Act, to make it a felony to transition children, as well as even government funding. We need to be passing Republican appropriation bills, and the Senate can get it through to the president's desk by using the nuclear option. They can use the nuclear option on any piece of legislation, overriding the 60-vote rule and helping legislation get to President Trump's desk to make it a law. Here's what's important for everyone to understand. Everything you voted for going forward is temporary right now until Congress uses its constitutional power and learns how to govern and learns how to actually use power like the Democrats have. And we've seen them do it over and over again. So I support President Trump. I campaigned for him very hard, but I am frustrated at the fact that we aren't passing bills to make his policies permanent.
Yeah, yeah, and we're all very frustrated with that because the last time I spoke with Johnson's office, unfortunately, I think the number was around a dozen of these bills that were going to be put forward. But, I mean, President Trump is well over 200 executive orders now, and to laminate his time in the White House, we need to be pushing forward and making sure that this is a top priority, especially that. Before you go, though, I do want to ask you, obviously, about the government shutdowns that are going on right now. We heard from the White House yesterday, and we've heard from them all week in regards to layoffs. I want to play this quick clip for you and then get your reaction on the other side.
The government shutdown could mean a federal program that provides food assistance to low-income mothers and children could run out of money in days.
So, when would these layoffs begin?
2 days, imminent, very soon. You will expect more announcements right now.
Is it just not unclear, or are you waiting?
It's not unclear. All of those things are very synonymous with one another. These rifts are unfortunately going to happen very soon.
All right. So obviously that's the press secretary talking about the layoffs. Where do you stand on these layoffs? Because we know that Congress is still being paid. Other employees, federal employees, are not so lucky. Where do you stand on that issue?
I just posted about it this morning, and I'm so thankful that you brought this up. Here's the situation as I see it. We passed a CR, which is something I did not want to vote for. The CR is a Biden-Schumer budget. I am largely opposed to CRs. I am extremely vocal about it in my conference, and I want Republicans in the House and the Senate to do the job the American people gave us. We need to be passing our own appropriations. That is extremely important, and that is the bill that we need to send to the president's desk. So right now, this shutdown is a big political fight and drama, but it doesn't have to be happening. The Senate can use the nuclear option and override the 60-vote rule. They can pass the CR with a simple majority. And the reason why that is important to do is because just the clip that you just showed about WIC, these are single moms that, you know, people have hit hard times over the past 4 years because of inflation, and the cost of living is extremely high right now. And so I don't think that these vulnerable Americans should pay the price because of politics in Washington, D.C. I believe that soon and the Republican senators need to actually grow some courage and a spine. They need to use the nuclear option, override the Democrats who want to fund health care for illegals, which is absolutely absurd, and we will not do it. And they need to reopen the government. And then Congress needs to get back to its constitutional duty, and that is to pass our Republican appropriation bills, which, again, when they go to the Senate, soon can use the nuclear option, override the 60-vote rule, and pass with a Republican majority of senators. And the reason why it's so important to do this, Brianna, is because we aren't at a point of bipartisanship anymore in this country, and it has been proven over and over again. Republican and Democrats can't work together, don't work together, and refuse to work together. And that is a fact of where we are in America. So why would they sit there and banter back and forth and try to get 7 Democrat votes when we don't need them in the first place? And what is needed is bold action in the Senate, and the Republicans have the power to do that.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And we hope they use that because it's long overdue. Congresswoman, we want to thank you for your time. We appreciate you joining us today. So thank you for that.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, that's Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of the very few fighters we have in Congress these days. And it's an honor to have her on the program. All right, I want to turn to something that is also is very important, and obviously all relevant to government shutdowns. And, you know, we have to call Democrats out when we can. We do it on both sides, though. That's the good news. But the left doesn't care about you, even if you vote blue. If you recall, Democrats have been very open about advocating for illegal aliens, but now they're trying to tell you that they aren't the ones advocating for illegal aliens. In fact, they're just trying to rewrite history. Take a listen to clip five.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, you remember that? That was when they were running for president. See, they had no problem coming forward and saying that they all supported giving illegal aliens insurance on your dollar. But now all of a sudden they're trying to rewrite history. And if you ask them specifically about it, well, you know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you, no, we support people having health insurance. Do you not support people having health insurance? They distance themselves from the word Americans because that's not the people they represent anymore. And they're not even hiding from it. In fact, in clip six, there's a senator who is now going out there and kind of learning what her party has been pushing for a very long time now. Now she's had this awakening moment. Take a listen.
I haven't heard anybody in my party saying that illegal immigrants should get access to the health insurance marketplace.
I'm so glad you said that. Actually, I have some tape of your Democratic Party members saying this on the debate stage. So they've all said it. Let's play the clip.
A lot of you have been talking tonight about these government health care plans that you've proposed in one form or another. This is a show of hands question, and hold them up for a moment so people can see. Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Okay. Senator, that's literally every member of your party, from moderate to more progressive, that have said that in the past.
Huh. It's a tough lesson to learn on Fox, I guess, especially when it's Fox lecturing you about what you said, what your party supports. I mean, this is what they all say. Folks, they just want to rewrite history. They want to pretend like this isn't their new voter base, but everything points to just that. I've never heard anyone in the Democratic Party say that they want health insurance for illegal aliens. No. See, Democrats have a great way of kind of using words to manipulate Americans, spin the narrative. Republicans haven't quite caught on to that yet, but Democrats do an incredible, incredible job. And so it's interesting to hear how they do this little dance around certain words because they don't want you knowing the truth. The truth is they don't care for Americans. They only care for their new voter base, which are these illegal aliens that they've imported into this country to destroy this country. And so time again, they try to distance themselves from it, but they can't. They can't. You see, they have to be called out on it every single time. And they get that little dopey face that they make. You see, they're not fighting for Americans. This government shutdown, if you are a government employee who is upset because you're not receiving a paycheck, well, there's only one side really to push back on. Now, again, I'm a fan of government shutdowns, because it allows you the opportunity to figure out what you really need and what you don't need, and then purge some of the wasteful spending. And I think it's something we could all get behind. Now, people, employees over at the IRS are apparently infuriated because they're not receiving a check. So we're going to play clip seven for you, where they are very, very unhinged. Take a listen.
But the American people, the American taxpayers, the American workers, government workers, need to be put first. And I think America's tired of that. They have families, they have children, they have elderly parents, they have financial commitments, mortgages, rent, car notes, and on and on and on. And it is unfair, unacceptable for government workers to be held at bay, not allowed to do their job. We want to work. Put us back to work. Open this government up.
No, I actually thought that was a parody at first, but no. No, it's fine that the government shut down. I'm not going to be upset about this. I think this is a great opportunity to figure out what spending we need, what spending we don't need. And so I welcome this. I'm sure you do too at home. I want to turn to another story. This is an important one. It's about Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is being disbarred. He was actually recently disbarred early this year, I believe, in D.C. But it doesn't stop there. Apparently, he's being disbarred in Connecticut as well. Now, I didn't know Hunter Biden was even a lawyer. I question how he was even able to pass the bar. Probably something we should look into, but apparently he was a lawyer and now he's being disbarred, which is a good thing, obviously citing his admission of guilt, regardless of those pardons that were allegedly signed, allegedly, by Joe Biden. But according to reports, he has officially been disbarred in the state of Connecticut. And this is pertaining to the federal gun charge, which he pled guilty to. So that's good news. Okay, we got a lot of good news today, actually. For the most part. And it's still coming. Like, this is going to be, like, the best one, too. Because, again, we keep talking about this. You remember we told you about the story about the superintendent? Ian Roberts, he is facing more charges. Now, if you're wondering how does an illegal alien get a job as a superintendent, you wouldn't be alone because many of us are wondering why that's the case. How does it even happen in the first place? But Roberts was arrested at the end of last year after a brief police chase. Now, according to the government, he ignored a May 2024 final removal order from DHS. Now, this is all pertaining to the fact that he overstayed his student visa in 1999. He somehow, some way, made it into the position as a superintendent. I think the reports I saw is he was making like north of $300,000 a year, some outrageous money. I don't even know how you're able to claim that unless you're using someone else's social security number. Again, we don't know how he's able to claim that. That, I'm sure, will warrant a thorough investigation. But at the time of his arrest, ICE and local police found Roberts with a loaded gun and $3,000 in cash. He also had a hunting knife on him as well. Federal authorities later confirmed Roberts' possession of 4 firearms in total. Now, again, he didn't have a valid work permit, so he shouldn't have been the superintendent. But he was. He was. And then there was another reporter who did a deep dive into the school district itself, and you find out that there's ties to the Obamas, that one of them worked for Michelle. And then you just wonder, how does this guy land in this position? Now, again, illegal, not supposed to be here in the first place, allegedly had firearms. I don't even know how he had them. But probably worth also adding to the story that last year, there was a Barack Obama-appointed judge who actually ruled that the Second Amendment applies to illegal aliens. Now, that has not been overturned. As far as I know, that ruling is still officially the ruling that illegal aliens are allowed to have firearms. Now, this illegal, I think this illegal was from Chicago, challenged their gun charge and said that they had the Second Amendment right to have a firearm. And then, lo and behold, the judge agreed. So again, the only time you probably find a Obama-appointed judge signing with the Second Amendment is when there's an illegal alien involved in all of this. And they should have done more, but they just decided not to. They decided not to. All right, everyone's really outraged on the left right now about this next story. Again, another victory. Victory, we love these. We do. Apple has just removed ICE tracking apps after being pressured by the DOJ. Now, if you recall, the shooter in Dallas actually went after ICE agents. He thought they were ICE agents. He actually killed detainees, sadly. But he apparently, according to reports, was actually using these ICE tracking apps to figure out where they were. And so from a rooftop, he shot down into the van, killing, I believe it's now 2 detainees, injuring another. And so obviously, you would, if you really care about this country and you care about people's well-being, you would reach out to Apple and say, hey, your app is actually putting these lives at risk. And somebody who did go out there and murder innocent people. I mean, I still think they're innocent, even though they're being deported. I actually asked for the criminal background, just so you know. But DHS has not handed that over. I wanted to see who these people were specifically or the crimes they were accused of besides being illegally here. But, I mean, they don't deserve to die for that. And so, again, DOJ officials, so the report says, at the direction of Attorney General Pam Bondi, asked Apple to take down IceBlock, which is the app that's being utilized to report all of this. Actually, I remember even seeing clips of Democrats even pushing these apps, telling people to report crimes when you see them with these apps. And again, by crimes, I'm referring to the fact that they just don't like the fact that Americans are siding with mass deportations. They don't want them here. So they want liberals to report as to when these deportations are taking place and where they are. Folks, we're going to be taking your call in just a few moments, calls in just a few moments. Give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Got something on your mind, something you want to say, story we didn't cover, give us a call, 877-789-2539. I also want to remind you guys that the Last Stand Super Sale is going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. Now, we don't know when InfoWars is going to be shut down. It could be today, it could be next week. So that's why we've launched the Last Stand Super Sale to fund the next operation and to keep us up in this fight and running. So when you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and you buy supplements from there, you're going to get an extra bottle for free while supplies last, of course. But you're also going to get an additional 20% off store-wide. So again, if you want to keep us up and running and continue our very next adventure, you got to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and support us. But most importantly, it supports your health. And that is what is so good for all of us on board right now. So again, I talked to you all about the Ultimate Creatine. That is one of the top sellers right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. If you're someone who works out a lot or somebody who wants to improve your brain health, this is the best way to do so. Grab yourself some Ultimate Creatine powder as well. That's up right now at the alexjonesstore.com. And again, it's buy one, get one free until supplies run out. And you don't know when that's going to run out. So head on over there and do that right now. All right. So we're going to be taking your calls again in just a few moments. And then when we come back as well in the third hour, we've got my friend Matt Marsden joining the show. Very excited to have him on because there's a lot to talk about. He was actually sounding off about a video in regards to Netflix. And it's an important one. Even Elon Musk is calling it out. Now, I don't know why conservatives, and this is why now everyone's like, you know, ditching their Netflix accounts. And I've done that like a while back. I ditched my Netflix account because, I mean, they were literally advertising biological men being pregnant. And they were playing pretend like it was a real thing. Yeah. So once I saw that, I was done with Netflix. Even though I was watching shows and I didn't even finish the series, you got to hold the line. So don't just cancel it and then bring them back, cancel and bring them back. Just cancel Netflix. But obviously Matt wants to talk about that, so we'll have him on in just a few moments. So again, we're taking your calls. Give me a ring, 877-789-2539, and I'll catch you in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
This is undoubtedly one of the toughest announcements that I've ever personally had to make. But after the accident in turn 14 of the Daytona 500, we've lost Dale Earnhardt.
Look, I'm not trying to frame myself as the GOAT. Like a Dale Earnhardt who died with his boots on, sword in hand, or Michael Jordan, or Tom Brady, or Muhammad Ali. But the truth is, when it comes to information warfare and saving the American Republic, taking on the globalists, having the greatest effect, awakening Americans, people all over the world, InfoWars is the MVP.
And the bad guys know that. That's why they come after us. That's why they sue us. That's why they attack us. Why they censor us, defank us, all of it. Because they see us as the lead elephant, the guy that has to be taken out. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've survived so many deep state attacks and attempts to close our doors in the last 8 years. And it's intensified the last year. And people kind of see it as a boy who cried wolf thing. I mean, you see it in the news. They're coming to shut us down. You see them send in armed private security with no court order. Bloomberg's group, The Onion, having fake auctions. And we keep surviving. And people say, well, you're invincible. But we've had big movements in state and federal court. So just please pray for InfoWars and pray for our future, because we are fighting so hard. This crew has put up with so much. And please, please remember that thealexjonesstore.com is not owned by me. And it's by the Alex Jones Network. So even if they shut this place down, the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, our sponsor, will be funding the crew, the satellite uplinks, the servers, the studios, all of it, the legal. And that's why when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you support there. It has a giant effect. Plus, I only sell you products that really work. The very best methylene blue, the very best bovine colostrum, the very best Shilajit, Irish sea moss, the very best spike protein detox, cardiovascular booster, ultimate life force. These products are incredible. They have 5-star reviews, 80%+ reorder rates. But I need you to get off the bench and go try the products, plus the widest selection of Patriot apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. It has been your financing of us that has kept us on air, and I want to thank those that have supported and love the products. But I want to encourage those of you that see this broadcast like a Netflix show or NFL game or entertainment. This ain't entertainment. This is men and women in the arena fighting tyranny at point-blank range. The bad guys want us off the air because they know we are for real. So for legal defense and staying on the air and expanding in the face of this tyranny, regardless of what happens, you decide whether we stay on air. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Throughout this week, we've got deals on bovine colostrum, on ultramethylene blue, all of it, where you buy one, get one free. But we're only running 2 days for each product. So check out whenever you watch this, which product is there, buy one, get one free. But everything's discounted at least 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Whatever you do, check out the widest selection of some of the best designs of Patriot apparel in the world. Over 600 designs. It's actually annoying how many designs are. It takes a lot of time to go through it all. And wear these shirts, wear these ball caps, and experience what it's like to see how many people are awake. It is a real adventure. So thanks for your support. Whatever you do, spread the word, pray for the broadcast, and I thank you humbly for all you've done. Now take action now in the spirit of 1776 at thealexjonesstore.com. Wars take money to finance. It's an info war, and you are the info when you take action. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I'm excited that you are all here. Oh man, a lot going on in the world today. A lot going on, and I want to like talk to you guys all about it because I think a lot of us need some venting therapy. So if you haven't done so already, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I see we have a couple of callers on lines right this second. So let's kick things off with my friend Savage Dog in Georgia. Welcome back to the program, my friend. How are you doing today?
Ma'am, I am. Oh, there you are. Good morning, ma'am. I am blessed.
Good to hear.
I don't really have anything really to vent about. I wanted to call yesterday, but I had to cook some breakfast for my Aztec queen. So anyway, this is all about your altercation. That's a cute little Pomeranian you got there. But I would suggest you get him a friend. Go out and get yourself like a German Rottweiler, male, uncut. And, or if you are, now you got to be real careful with this breed because you've got to be the alpha, but if you get an Akita, that dog will do your taxes and, rip the throats out of your enemies. They're so smart, but, I would suggest, you know, that alleged may or may not have happened, black object you pulled out of your purse. That's one thing, but I guarantee you ain't no Egyptian walking up on you wanting to pet a Roddy with hate and rage in his eyes. That's all I had to say about that.
Well, I hope Giuseppe, my Pomeranian's not listening to the show today, because I think he'd be devastated to find out that he's not the vicious attack dog that he thinks he is. Although he was not very aware of his surroundings that day, I think he'd put up a good fight. I think he'd get a couple of, like, ankle bites in, if he had to defend me. But yeah, that was the common theme here. Everyone's telling me to get a bigger dog. I do like golden retrievers. How about a golden retriever?
Well, I had a black lab when I was like 4 years old, and apparently she was walking around with me. I was by myself around where I grew up, around a rock quarry. Back in the 70s, parents didn't care if you walked around a rock quarry. But she got between me and a couple that was walking toward me and was like threatening violence on them. So, you know, I guess it doesn't matter as long as they are trained right and that to know to watch, you know, watch them,
yeah.
You know, and then they'll sit and they'll eyeball them and say, what are you going to do, bro? But, you know, it's like the difference between a 9mm and a 45, you know, somebody looking down the barrel of one or the other, they're going to have more fear.
Yeah.
They looking down the barrel of a Rottweiler. they probably tend less to mess around than some friendly, goofy yellow dog, you know?
Yeah, well, Savage, I actually thought it was a lie when he came up to me talking about my dog, that he wanted to pet my dog, just because Middle Eastern people normally actually don't like dogs. That's actually kind of a known fact. And so I was very taken back by it, but knew it was a BS once he started saying that. I mean, that's all he was able to say, really. So, yeah, I just think it's so interesting that that it even happened in the first place. Look at Giuseppe. He's got a strut. He's like a little model. He thinks he's tough. He actually tries to fight big dogs all the time. I have to constantly pull him away and restrain him, but he doesn't mind going after the big dogs either. So we'll keep that in the back of my mind. I'll definitely look into getting a bigger dog. Thank you for giving us a call, Savage Dog. I appreciate when you do all the time. So thank you very much, my friend.
Yes, ma'am. Have a blessed day.
You as well. All right, folks, I want to remind you, give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That's Gia you're looking at your screen. Gia is the sock monster, also might be mixed with the pit bull. We haven't yet figured it out. But she is a little terror. If you leave your socks around, she will snatch them and you will not get them back. And she'll make mean sounds like she's going to bite your fingers off if you try to pull it out of her mouth. Obviously very vicious. Obviously a dog you'd be afraid of. Clearly she's a solid 9 pounds of fluff and she'll bite your ankles if you dare take that sock away from her. All right, let's go to another caller. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give me a ring again, 877-789-2539. Let's go to Mark in Texas. Mark, welcome to the program today.
Hey, welcome back to the InfoWars. Nice job. The update on the information that you're covering about Manchester, one of the people who was murdered in that incident was shot by one of those cops you see wearing the yellow vests. So you got to be careful about your sources.
Which one are you referring to?
The Manchester murders.
You're saying, yeah, okay, according to the reports, they're saying that the police shot the suspect. So you're saying that they shot an additional person?
Well, again, yeah, that's your reports, and you got to watch out for your sources, because there's other sources that are saying that the cops shot somebody who was actually defending against that attacker before the entire thing developed. So
where did you see
stabbed,
that?
What's that?
Well, where did you see that report?
Where did I see that? I'm not going to name my sources, and I'll tell you why. It's obvious you need to keep your sources close, because the other thing Carnivore is doing is it's sweeping up the names of all these people that we're talking about on the air. Jonesy can update you on Carnivore. But the point is that's what all this stuff is all about. They're basically taking down names and laying up the big reaction that they're going to pull when we lose a couple aircraft carriers out in the Indo-Mediterranean Op-4, and this whole thing kicks off and gets really ugly. So pick around. I think some of your board Nazis have the actual data on where that source comes from. And happy Friday. Shabbat shalom.
Adios.
See ya.
Adios. Let's go to Phoenix in Wisconsin, please. Phoenix, welcome to the program.
Hi, Brianna. How you doing? I wanted to talk about a nuclear war with Russia.
Yes.
Kind of a hot topic nowadays, you know. And I didn't see you guys play the clip, but I wanted to ask your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. That President Putin over there said that if the war escalates and to a certain point that he believes that he could be able to strike Europe with nuclear weapons and notify America beforehand that, hey, we're going to strike Europe with nuclear weapons. U.S.
Sorry, you broke up in that last part. Can you
US
repeat?
Would not defend Europe in that case and risk global apocalypse. What do you think? Do you think if Putin hit Europe with nukes but did not fire at the U.S., would the U.S. retaliate?
That I don't know. I actually haven't seen that report either. I'm trying to look it up right now as you were speaking to kind of get a figure for it, but I have not yet seen that. I think that President Trump obviously is a president who is looking to bring peace. And so I don't know if he would, although NATO is a big issue,
so
obviously.
If you're
breaking up a little bit.
Do you think the U.S. should respond? Can you hear me better now?
It's a little bit better now. Yeah. I mean, I am no military expert. So when it comes to that, I don't know if I would be able to honestly give you a fair shot at that. I think that, if Russia were to launch a nuclear attack, then yeah, the U.S. would be forced to respond if it's their NATO allies.
If because it was NATO allies, you think that we should respond and
I don't think we should.
Apocalypse?
I think that you have, I think you have to sit here and you have to go with your NATO allies. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think it's at that point. Obviously, we're still doing business. The latest news conference with Putin, he was talking about how the U.S. is still buying uranium from Russia. You know,
yeah.
We're still doing business with them. I think it's still at that adversarial thing where, you know, you have an adversary and a competitor that they're really not an enemy at this point. But I mean, it's escalating, and this war in Ukraine is horrible. You know, Ukraine's one of the whitest countries on earth. And it's like, I look at it as like a horrible white genocide happening there. You know, Ukraine's never, I've had Ukrainian friends before and they're like albino. And I think it's just horrible what's happening. Ukraine's never going to be the same. I don't think it's ever going to recover, you know, and I'm worried about that warfare spreading because that drone warfare stuff is just horrendous. I don't know if you've seen those video clips of what it's like to fight robots over there. You know, you die, a human life is worth the cost of one DJI $1,000 drone, you know?
Yeah.
And I could just imagine that on a mass scale with civilians, it would be, you know, a horror show.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 1,000% it would be. The videos with the drone attacks are actually heartbreaking. Because you see, and this is where the war crimes begin. You see people who are trying to surrender on both sides, and they don't even have any mercy, and they do still strike. And, the drone angle of all of it is absolutely horrendous, to see. And so, I'm with you on that. I mean, war is never a good thing. It's never a good thing, but you know, I don't see Russia getting to the point where they're going to start launching nukes at Europe. I just don't see that actually happening.
I think if Moscow was hit, if Zelensky gets those long range missiles and he hits Moscow, I think there's going to be big trouble. And I don't know if you noticed, but as predicted right after the election, before the election, Zelensky wasn't really hitting the refineries that hard, but now he's really hitting the refineries in Russia, which is not only their big cash cow, but also affects, you know, global gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if Zelensky hits Moscow, Russia would respond very harshly to that.
Yeah. 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 We'll see. They should. We're all in for peace, though. Like, you don't want to see this continuously escalating. But I don't know. I really don't think that Russia is going to launch nukes. I feel like it's always been kind of the fear-mongering thing on that front. I don't think that they're even ready for it, I think.
I'm worried about it because those nukes have expiration dates, too, which no one talks about. They expire like a jug of milk. The explosives that wrap the uranium and plutonium are incredibly caustic. And I'm worried that they're like, well, we paid for it. We might as well use it. And then Macron and all the elites just go into their new bunkers, you know, and then we just turn into, you know, race.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm hopeful that peace will be brought very soon, though, that this war will end. I'm hopeful. I think Trump has a grip on that front, at least, because his goal is to be able to brag about being the president who has brought peace to all wars and ended all wars. So I think that is one of his big ones. So I want to thank you for calling into the show. Let's turn to Marcus. Marcus, welcome to the program today.
Good morning, Brianna. Good morning. There's that funny meme that's going around where President Trump's putting that sombrero on Hakeem Jeffries' head and such. And people are laughing at that. But it's not funny what they did to us with the putting in 25 illegal third worlders in our country, taking away our jobs, our health care. I mean, just you name it. So why isn't Mayorkas charged and arrested? And also Kamala Harris, too, because she apparently, according to the White House, was the border czar. Of course, she never visited the border, but she's still the border czar, and she has she should take credit for what she's done to this nation as well as Mayorkas.
Yeah. Well, those are great questions that we continue to ask. I mean, every day on Twitter, I'm posting that there's no arrest being made. And for some reason, nothing has changed. I mean, yes, Mayorkas is like one of the many who need to be arrested for what they did to this country. The millions of illegal aliens that they've imported. It's absolute disgrace, but it's going to take obviously the White House a very long time to get all these people out of the country. But that was intentional. That's why they did exactly that. But Kamala Harris, obviously another one who should be held accountable for that. Remember when they all said, oh, she's the border czar. And then all of a sudden she wasn't the border czar anymore when they needed her to run for president and they wanted to kind of pull away from the border crisis, what they created. So they were very quick to do so. And the sombrero meme, which again, I mean, they just want anything to claim that the president's racist. It's funny. And the fact that they can't even laugh about that just shows you that there's no humor on the left.
And then there's one other thing that I'd like to say. Why haven't we had like hundreds of fires at processing plants over the last year? Oh, yeah, because Republicans are in charge now, right?
Yeah.
So it does need to be laid at the feet of Buttigieg and others in the administration, which never looked into that.
Yeah.
We had hundreds of fires. I mean, huge. Why are our grocery prices so high now? Well, we got to look back at all those processing plants, which are obliterated.
Yeah. No, 100%. I remember we were reporting on it. I was producing for another show. We were just going over all the food processing facilities that were catching on fire randomly. The chickens that were being killed and slaughtered, but not for meat, just for being caught, random fires that were happening. Yeah, there's no accountability. And then again, they also, in order to skyrocket egg prices, they also slaughtered thousands and thousands of chickens without any type of testing over the excuse that they had bird flu. So there was a legitimate attack on our food source here in the country, and no one has been held accountable, sadly. So, yeah, no, I agree with you on that. There's many things. I mean, there's like a laundry list of things that need to be looked into. And sadly, they're not there yet. And I don't know what more it's going to take. There's a lot of people that need to go to jail. There's a lot of people who need to go to prison. And the charges aren't there. I mean, we still haven't even seen James Comey's mugshot because he hasn't been arrested yet. We had Roger Stone on the show, obviously, earlier this week, and he was not happy about that. And rightfully so. I mean, Roger was hit with the same charges, and they raided his home. So for some reason, we have people in this administration who don't understand that we are in a war with the left, and that they are not afraid to use the FBI and all of its resources to target their political opponents. So again, I'm not a fan of any of this. I get very upset over this because it's one of those issues that I thought day one was going to be handled, but it hasn't been handled. So we'll continue to see what goes on there. Marcus, thank you for jumping on with me. Let's see. Let's turn to Diane in D.C., it looks like, because I hear you have a bit of a positive message. You there? All right, let's go to Ryan in Gainesville. Ryan, you're on with us.
How are you doing today? Awesome. How are you doing?
I'm good, Ryan. Thank you for joining us.
So I had a question about the possibility of an amendment for medical autonomy, because I'm a practicing physician, and, you know, I don't believe in vaccination. I've seen what the corporate pharmaceutical industry has done to essentially make America sick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that we are brainwashed from the very beginning of osteopathic and allopathic medical school. And, you know, some of us are smart enough to see through, but the rest of us kind of just go with the flow and give the shot. And, you know, at some point, you know, due to religious reasons, we should not be forced to to take anything into our bloodstream that we do not agree with. But corporations, schools, there's all these requirements to take these unnecessary medical interventions. And, you know, I've never heard of anybody floating the idea of an amendment or something giving us the right to refuse medical intervention. But, you know, I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why I lost my job at Fox. I mean, they were trying to comply, as they put it, with the New York City private sector vaccine mandates and then wanted me to take the jab. And they said, you know, if you don't want to take the jab, you could just apply for a medical or religious exemption. But, you know, what's interesting about that is we've never had to actually do that in the past, right? We never, and normally your employer, if they ask anything about your religious beliefs, would be sued. And so we allowed the government to just kind of create this blanket of blanket of immunity for employers to go after us for our religious beliefs and decide whether or not you're religious enough to be exempt from the vaccine. So you bring up a lot of good points here. I want to highlight too, you know, when the vaccines were first coming out, they denied the fact that aborted fetuses were being used for these vaccines. We later saw that, yes, that was the case. Of course, it was the case. We never lied about that. But they tried their best to distance themselves from it. And they thought that Christians were just going to roll up their sleeves and take these vaccines. I wouldn't even call them vaccines anymore, but these jabs. And without any question, without any pushback, the government should never be able to force you to take a vaccine or a jab. Neither should your employer. And so, yeah, I think your body, your rights, they love to say that on the left. But when it comes to this, this is a major issue for me. This is something that I think this is the hill I'm willing to die on. I think every American should be able to make their own medical choices when it comes to these things. And the fact that the government tries to infringe on this is disgusting. And your employer has no right to ask these questions. They have no right to require any of this, you know. When I was at Fox, and this is the other part too, is they were going to, according to them in emails, they were going to sit me on a separate side of the building with the other unvaccinated people. Now, fast forward, it probably was for the best so the vaccinated wouldn't shed on me. But the reality of it is that was discrimination. I wasn't allowed to sit with my coworkers is what they were going to do to me. So, I mean, I never got back into the building when my very first day moving back to New York City, they never even let me into the building. I immediately got an email that said that I was going to be put on unpaid leave for not getting the vaccine or apply for a exemption, and I chose not to. So I think if the bulk of Americans stood up on this issue and said, we're not going to comply, we're not going to do this, I think that would be amazing. And I really, really think that we need that right now more than ever. We need Americans to stick together, because the next time I do it, if all of us say no, then they're not going to win. But then you have the people who like are shuffling their feet and they're like, well, I have to keep a job, so I'll just have to do it. I had no fallback plan, right? When everything happened with me at Fox, I had put down thousands of dollars to relocate and to move. And I had no money really to say no to a job. But I did it anyway because I knew it was right. And so I get that it's easier said than done, especially those who have children. That's a very difficult decision to make. But if we all were on board and fighting back on all of this, we would be better off. We would be better off. So thank you for calling about that, because I think, Ryan, that's a really important discussion that still needs to be had, especially when we sit back and we watch what's happening at the White House. I mean, the Pfizer thing was just so stomach turning. The praising Pfizer for the vaccines and for what is it called? It's that treatment, that COVID treatment that he continues to tout. He said, oh, you sneezed on me. It's not anything we should be excited about. It's not anything we should celebrate. And you could see RFK Jr. just cringing, dying on the inside with all of this. So yeah, it's enough is enough. Enough is enough with all of this. And the fact that they have all these immunities in regards to not the vaccines creating immunity, but legal immunity is the concerning angle of all of this. So thank you, Ryan, for calling. We appreciate you. Folks, I was just given breaking news and I would like to report this, because Nick Sorter has provided us with an update in regards to his arrest in Portland. Nick Sorter is now reporting that Attorney General Pam Bondi has ordered a full investigation led by Harmy Dillon, who runs the DOJ's civil division. Bondi confirmed to me that they're looking into this now following my wrongful arrest last night. Pam Bondi personally called me to deliver this news, and I'm incredibly grateful for her for doing so. Trump DOJ will not allow Portland police to continue to do the bidding of Antifa. That's awesome. Kudos to Pam Bondi for giving him a call. I mean, that's amazing that she called him directly to tell him this. Now, we just had Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene on, and, you know, MTG just told us that she would like this investigation. So it's good to see that Pam Bondi took the initiative to give Nick Sorter a call and to let him know that this is what they're going to do. So good on that. We love to hear that. That is incredible, and we are very excited for that. Folks, I wanted to remind you all that there's an incredible sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. It's the last stand super sale. InfoWars could be shut down at any point. It could be today. It could be next week. We don't know. So you're going to want to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because it's the last stand super sale, which means whatever you guys spend, it's going to help us stay on air, do our next operation. And that we strongly rely on. So head on over there right now because you're going to get some great benefits right now. When you buy any supplement at the alexjonesstore.com, you get an extra free bottle while supplies last. Plus, you also get an additional 20% off store-wide. And again, this sale is not going to last forever. It's over at the alexjonesstore.com. There's never been a better sale over at the store. So head on over there right now. Take a look around. This is going to keep us on air and extending us over to our next operation in case they do shut us down. Again, either today, next week, we don't know. We don't know. We obviously saw the judge to give them the green light to do just that. And Alex is fighting these battles. I mean, he's trying to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. So again, when you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, you are keeping us in this fight, and we are very grateful for that. All right, folks, we only have a couple of seconds left in this segment. I want to thank everyone who gave us a ring. I see that the phones are lighting up. Maybe later on in the show, we could do a couple more calls. But for now, we are going to take a break from taking calls. We're going to prepare for our next segment because I'm telling you, this one's going to be good. Matt Madison Marson has a lot to talk about in regards to Netflix, which is, I mean, Netflix, I've already told you, it's gone woke, stop supporting it. I cut ties with them when they were postering a biological male pretending to be pregnant. And for some reason, conservatives are like on another cancel tour of their memberships fees. Netflix is what it is. It is going to be feeding you propaganda from the rainbow community. So we'll discuss that in just a few moments with Matt Marston. So much more to dive into. Do not go anywhere. There's more American Journal to unpack.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the ultimate methylene blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by methylene blue, ultra methylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you are all here. Happy Friday, everyone. All right, we just wrapped taking calls. We will take them later on the show, though, so stay put there. But we got a lot that we're going to dive into in the third hour of the program. A lot. I mean, a lot to kick off with. So we're excited that you guys are all here. We're getting live updates in regards to a lot of things that are happening around the country. We obviously saw that Nick Sorter has given us an update regarding his arrest. He's a free man now. But it came with a lot of issues in Portland for him. They have now charged him with disorderly conduct, but he's saying that Pam Bondi, the attorney general, gave him a call directly, which is amazing, saying that they will be investigating what happened in Portland last night. So it was very obvious, if you were watching the footage that we've been airing all day today, that Antifa was going after him. And this isn't the first time, obviously. It's been going on for throughout the week. But they went after him. They even had one Antifa member go up to a law enforcement officer to kind of go after Nick. These are the same people that were defund the police, abolish police. Well, now they're trying to use the police. Portland police obviously afraid of these people because they're violent. And so they're doing their very best to, you know, abide by the violent ones and arrest the ones that are peaceful and just trying to do their jobs. So Nick Sorter giving us that update, which is very impressive of the AG. Obviously, we had Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene on the show, and she did call for the DOJ to investigate. So things are happening, and that's good. That's good. Again, we could be critical when we have to be, but this is a good sign. There needs to be accountability. The fact that they arrested Nick Sorter, who, like we all know, is one of the nicest guys out there, shows you what you need to really know. And they were burning the American flag. And Nick jumps in and he tries to save it. So again, this is what we're up against. This is what we're up against. No surprise. No surprise at all. Nick is a patriot. Good for him on this. It's scary going after these people because from their perspective, they have nothing to lose. This is their career. So I can only imagine what he's going through. Also what happened to Katie Davis Court as well from, you know, the post-millennial, not okay. So hopefully we do get something from there, because Harmy Dillon's great. She's been an advocate. I've had her on my show before. She's been an advocate for the First Amendment. So she's going to be as straightforward as he can on this issue. And so that's good to see. We're also hearing breaking news regarding the FBI cutting all ties between the Southern Poverty Law Center and the agency. Now, according to them, this comes after they're accusing the Southern Southern Poverty Law Center. I assume that I have really bad eyes. This is what aging's like. So this comes after they label Charlie Kirk as hateful. And so now, and again, it's so crazy to me that these groups even had access to the FBI. I mean, we all know that they're far left. We get it. But I mean, this is a big one. Elon Musk, again, when Elon Musk calls things out, things happen. Elon Musk accused the group of being guilty of inciting Charlie Kirk's murder. And so, good riddance. It's one of the many. We obviously reported that Patel severed ties with the ADL as well, which is great. Which is great. It's what we want. I mean, these groups have gone on to bully people, gone after them, targeted them personally. I hate to see it. I hate to see it. And so it's a little refreshing to see now that there's some sanity over at the FBI. So this is good news, of course. But folks, we're about to kick off the show in the third hour, which is very exciting. And I'm excited that you guys are all here today to join us on that one. Matt Marsden is standing by. He's going to jump in on this because he's got a lot to sound off about when it comes to Netflix. Again, Elon Musk jumping in on that fight as well because he's not happy that the rainbow community is targeting children, and rightfully so. We've had enough of this. So they are going to be sounding off in just a few moments. We'll be taking your calls later in the hour as well. Again, I see there's a lot of people still in the lines, list of people. So we'll get you in just a few moments. Again, a lot happening. We're also going to talk about what's happening in Spain in just a few moments as well. So do not go anywhere. There's more to unpack on the American Journal.
True. Doctor.
I also noticed your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have. 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So.
Amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle of the pills too.
You like, oh, you like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah. It's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
Like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Republicans are holding a press conference regarding the shutdown. It just started. We'll go there shortly, but or we'll give you the highlights at least to make sure that they're not full of it. But folks, there's a lot going on right now that's really important for us to focus on. Left-wing violence has consumed this country for far too long, and it's time to crack down on it. And there's really no mainstream media focus on it. It seems to be only independent journalists who are hyper-focused on all of this. And when they go out there to confront these left-wing terrorists, well, they're met with violence. And Nick Sorter, sadly, the independent journalist, has been targeted last night. He was assaulted. He was also assaulted the night before as well, but he was assaulted again yesterday, and then he was arrested. He was arrested. Nick Sorter, if you know him, you just follow him. He literally is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He has a show on this network, and he hosts it on Sundays. And again, he's not afraid to stand up for himself. Even last night, he actually said that it would be likely that he'd get arrested just for self-defense. And so here we are, Nick Sorter taking out Antifa members who are sitting here and burning our flag. And after assaulting him, he ended up getting arrested by Portland police. Again, they don't make arrests normally, but now they want to start making arrests. The good news, though, looks like Attorney General Pam Bondi has called Nick Sorter directly to deliver the news that she has now launched a full investigation led by AG, Assistant AG Harmy Dillon, who runs the civil division over at the DOJ. And they're looking into his wrongful arrest last night. This is what should happen. Katie, you know, obviously, like Katie over at the Postmillennial, we keep talking about her, was assaulted. Black eye. Portland police allowed the suspect to leave. And again, this also warrants an investigation because we saw on footage, it just let her suspect go. So there's a lot to get to the bottom of all of this. Please welcome to the show, Matt Marsden. He's a great actor, extraordinaire, a credible person. He also vents about a lot of these issues as well over on X. So make sure you give him a follow. Matt, I want to thank you for being on the program today because there's a lot to discuss, especially with left-wing violence. You know, these little terrorists are running around Portland and destroying it. But the media and its local officials in Portland continue to tell us it's not happening. But it looks like it's happening if you ask Nick Sorter because he got, it looked like, punched in the face by one of these Antifa members, allegedly. So your reaction to now that the AG is coming out and she called Nick Sorter directly and said that she's launching a full investigation into all of this.
Yeah, well, firstly, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate you and the channel. For too long now, and conservatives know this, right? For too long, this has been a case of asymmetrical warfare, right? So we have the bad guys going out there doing these things with impunity. Nobody's pulling them up. And then when anyone even covers it, I mean, we're not even talking about pushing back and fighting against them, but you have a citizen journalist out there that's just covering it. They are the ones that get arrested. And this is absolutely a leftist tactic. If people don't believe that, go and have a look at what's going on in the UK right now. So they have, you know, they've got terrorists going out there saying and doing things. And then when you say something against those terrorist acts, what happens? They come and arrest you for memeing. And so this is, it's really, really systemic, and it's been going on for a long time, and it's been frustrating conservatives all across the country. And it's a wonderful thing now, the Pam Bondi. And I've been very critical of Pam Bondi, but it's a really wonderful thing now that she's stepping in and saying, hang on a second, what is going on here? Because, Brianna, part of this issue, I believe, is after COVID, you saw all these great policemen, and I got to say, you know, until recently, I was a very big fan of cops, right? And you and I know, certainly in the big liberal cities, there's an issue with the police departments. But what you see is these great cops resign because they wouldn't bend the knee to the COVID vaccine. That is a very, very serious thing, because what you have is the people that stayed in. Not all of them stayed in because they agreed with it, but what they did do is they bent the knee. And so what will they do when they get orders from up on high is they're going to bend the knee again. And I truly believe that is what you're seeing here, is you are seeing a combination of cops that joined up, maybe not for the right reasons, and other cops that are there that are just, as they say, following orders. And this is absolutely horrendous. And it's great that the AG has stepped in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is great. And here's the other issue with all of this. A lot of these police departments, because of the BLM movement and what it did to cities and what it did to potential candidates for these positions, they're not pulling from the best. And it's unfortunate, yes. But when you, I mean, to work in Portland and to be a law enforcement officer, you've taken a couple of beatings yourself, both probably physically based on how these Antifa members act, but also probably emotionally into your ego. Because, I mean, time and time again, they're probably getting, you know, smacked right and left with all these losses, because they're dealing with people who don't want to follow the law. And they're also dealing with prosecutors that don't want to uphold the law. And they have a mayor who will also throw them under the bus if they decide to maybe not retaliate, but to fight back, defend themselves. I mean, we know that these cities are just cesspools at this point. So it's really unfortunate that when it comes to law enforcement these days, they're not pulling from the best, because they don't have the best when it comes to that. And I know you and I have talked about this before privately, because before I went public with my story and all the details regarding Plano Police, you and I spoke about it. But so many of us have these brush ups with law enforcement nowadays where they don't want to do their job. But it's because, well, they're not real law enforcement officers. They didn't really have it in them at the very beginning to even take on these roles.
Yeah, I think that there's a number of different factors that go into this. You do have, as you said, they're just bringing people in. It used to be a vocation, right? People wanted to uphold the law. It was very, very noble. And now what you've seen, certainly over the past, like I say, since COVID, you've had a lot of people coming in who, number one, they don't believe what we believe, as in, and when I say what we believe, it's like these rights that people have, right? Like objective rights, and the law enforcement wanting to enforce the law regardless of what happens politically to them. And you've also got people in that are in higher up positions there in the hierarchy that are woke, that do not back their law enforcement. I mean, I know someone who is a officer in Portland. They hate it. They cannot wait to get out. But is it 20 years now? And I'm not entirely sure how long it is before. I think it's maybe 25 years or 30 years of law enforcement before you can retire and get out. And they're just biding their time. And they say it's very frustrating for them as well that they can't go in there and deal with these thugs, because when they do, obviously, you know, you've got all these, you know, the NGOs that are funding lawsuits that will go against the police department, and their higher ups go, hey, listen, I don't want anything to do with that. Like, you're on your own. So there's a confluence of different things that are coming together to influence the behavior of the law enforcement. And that is really unfortunate. But overall, whether it's unfortunate or not, what it does is it culminates in lawlessness. And that is a major problem, because you have one side that knows that they aren't going to get punished. And then you get someone like Nick who said, and they go for the soft target, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it literally is going after the guy that's doing good, because they know that if they go after the other guys, they've got a major problem on their hands, right? Like, does that escalate into, you know, Chad and things blowing up for them in Portland? And this is why it's so important for Trump to get involved. And that's why he said, listen, I'm bringing these entities in. Unfortunately, we need to really go back and look at every single law enforcement agency. And we've said this before, they're doing it at the FBI, and get rid of all the bad actors in there. And that's going to take quite some time.
Yeah, and Katie Davis Court, just watching her video to me speaks volumes. I mean, literally, the cop is right there. The cop is right there, Matt. And instead of making the arrest and telling them, hold on, you're under arrest and you need to wait and you need to wait right here, the other person who's with the suspect goes, I'm a lawyer, and the cop automatically releases and lets it go. I mean, no care in the world.
Yeah, because they're worried. Because they're worried that they're not going to have the backing of their higher-ups. That was never the case. A friend of mine, Tim Clemente, who used to be, he was an FBI agent before that. He was a cop in St. Louis, Missouri, which was, they called it the Bloody Third back then because it was the murder capital of the world. And he knew that if he was going out into the field, into this very, very violent area, which, by the way, it's still violent today, he knew that his sergeant and his captain were wholly behind him. And if anyone was to come to him, they would coalesce behind him and support him. And this was, you know, back in the day when they did have that vocation to do good, to implement law and order, which makes everyone safe. And this is a leftist tactic, right? It is a leftist tactic. You're seeing it in the UK just the same. They're employing it where you know that if you are a citizen, they want to cool you from going out and doing anything about this lawlessness, even covering it. I mean, like you said, Brianna, there are citizen journalists going in there. The big media companies aren't going in there and covering it, right? They don't want to cover it because they know they don't have any support when they go in there. So it's down to the citizen journalists who really know what's up. They love the country. As you said, Nick's a patriot. They're going in there and they're covering this at massive personal risk. And, you know, I can't reiterate this enough. When you're there on the ground, when you're out there, I know multiple people that have done this. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to have a Kyle Rittenhouse moment. And they're not backed by the police. It is unbelievable. And like I said, this is all to intimidate you into silence. Thank goodness we have a Trump administration now, because can you imagine what this would have been like under a Kamala Harris administration? Like, there would have been no accountability. It would have been more intimidation, and people would have gone more and more into their shells. We're very lucky to have this administration.
Yeah, and it's good. I'm hopeful now that we see AG Panbani launching this investigation. Harmeet Dhillon, obviously an advocate for the First Amendment, but now she's running the civil division, and she's not going to allow these fake protesters, because they always like to say that they're protesting and it's their First Amendment rights, but it is Nick Sorter's First Amendment right to be reporting there as a member of the press. And so for them to do what they've done to him and to others, it's disgusting, but we're excited for that. But speaking about protests, all right, Matt, don't hate me for playing this next clip, but I wanted to play this next clip because I think it's really interesting. It tells you how bad things are in clip 10 in Portland right now. Take a listen.
An emergency World Naked Bike Ride. The World Naked Bike Ride usually happens every summer. People bike in the buff to protest pollution from other forms of transportation and call attention to cyclist safety. In a new post on Instagram, organizers say they are getting ready to ride for another cause, responding to what they call the militarization of our city.
So they're not fans of law enforcement being set in by the federal government. And because of that, they're going to ride around the city naked. Your reaction?
I mean, listen, firstly, I don't know about you, but I like clenched my butt cheeks then when they were talking about that, because I can't think of anything more uncomfortable than riding around naked on a bike. Yeah, look, I mean, these people are weird, right? They're a bunch of weirdos, and, you know, just believe them when they do these kind of actions, because this is, you know, what is that going to do? You just got a bunch of freaks going out there being naked, riding around. It's not doing anything. Yeah, I've said this before. It's the same thing with BLM. If you want to do something about climate change, get on a plane, go over to China and protest China. If you want to do something about BLM, like Black Lives Matter, get on a plane, go over to Nigeria where they're murdering Christians and do something about, like, do something that will actually make a difference. Hey, listen, these are the same people, by the way, Brianna, that won't go to the south side of Chicago to stop young black men from murdering each other. It's all BS. It's all absolute garbage. We know it's virtue signaling. A lot of the time, obviously, with these other groups, they're funded by NGOs. It's all a leftist play. But these people are absolutely unserious individuals. Right, they're completely unserious. It's the same thing when you see actors in Hollywood that say, yeah, you know, the green agenda, and then they get on their private jets and they fly places. It is honestly like one rule for me, another for thee, right? We're all serfs that we need to abide by these rules where they don't. And the great thing about the advent of the internet is that, and shows like InfoWars, they're exposing this. They're exposing the hypocrisy. So they can't get away from it anymore. And I think, again, referring back to COVID, what COVID did, although it was horrendous, what it did was it just exposed their hypocrisy, right? They can't get away with it anymore. And people have woken up to this. They know that the climate change thing is utter bunkum. And again, right, like I remember, you're not old enough for this, Brianna, but for those that are old enough, do you remember acid rain? Like we're all like, oh, there's going to be acid rain. It's going to like strip our cars of their paint. That never happened. Right. Acid rain never happened. You know, Obama, who's going on and on and on about climate change, goes and buys a beachfront house. Like it's all BS. And we all know it's a communist play. So the emperor has no clothes anymore. And the public is just too educated to buy it. So thankfully, that's going to be coming to an end.
Yeah, well, thankfully, it's going to be coming to an end. And speaking about coming to an end, I wanted to talk about Netflix, because I don't know why, and this is no personal shade, I don't know why conservatives continue to cancel and reinstate their accounts. And I mean, I canceled it when they had a biological man who was pregnant on like a poster promoting this film that they had created, and they were pretending like this was actually like a real thing. That's when I left and never went back in. I don't remember what series it was, but I was in the middle of a series. That's how serious I was about this issue. But you have recently come out speaking out about a new Netflix series that's angled at children. And I want to play specifically what you're talking about here, because it's Strawberry Shortcake is the cartoon that's angled at children, but they're trying to groom them into these transgender propaganda machine. Let's take a listen.
Like cotton candy clouds floating in a blue sky. Banoffee will slide that runway. Banoffee, tell us why you chose this delicious dress.
As a trans fairy, I love living out loud as my most authentic self. And I wanted a dress as bold and unique as I am, which, let's face it, is a tall order.
Okay, as a trans berry, that actually looks closer to a woman than actual trans people do sometimes. Matt, I know you're sounding off about this. Elon Musk also not happy with this either. Your reaction, though, to that clip?
All right, so I want to break this down for the audience because it's really important for them to understand how this came to be, right? So I was in Hollywood for 20 years. I saw this happening towards the end of the 2000s, right? The 2000s, the early 2000s when I first came to America, and I was making movies there. We were still making great films, right? I did Black Hawk Down was my first movie. As you can see behind me, like Black Hawk Down was my first movie in America. We were still making quality films. But as time went by across the 2000s, towards the end of the 2000s, there was a shift. And I started getting scripts with all these different, first it was subtle, right? There was this thing here, this thing there. And I was like, oh, that's weird. We didn't really have it like that before. I mean, you'd certainly have movies that were agenda based, but it was very clear, not this kind of like subtle, injection of these, I mean, whatever thing it is that you want to put in there, whether it, you know, it was gay rights or whether it was the climate change or whether it was anti-American stuff, like that started coming in more and more and more. So then it really started going in the 2010s, and now we are where we are. So don't forget, when you're looking at doing animation, it's many, many years in advance, right? They're doing stuff many, many years in advance. But I want to tell people, I want to explain to people how this decision and these decisions and these projects are made. Okay, so firstly, if you are Netflix or Disney or Hulu, you might say, I have an idea for a show. What I then need to do is go out and look for proposals, right? So I've got this idea. Let's just say we want to make a movie about space aliens or space witches, like lesbian space witches, which is what happened with Disney, right? They'll go out and they'll go and say, hey, listen, give me a proposal. We will fund it. Then they choose the person that is going to write it. Then that writer has to get a director, a producer, and actors. Okay, so canceling Netflix stops that. Okay. It kind of will go a long way towards restricting their budget to put into those kind of things. The problem is you do not change the creators. The creators are still out there. So what I've done, and I can talk about this because I've actually done this, I've actually been in the room, is what you do is you create a series and then you go and shop it. So you take it to Netflix, you take it to Max, you take it to Disney, and you say, hey, listen, I have this project. Will you fund it? Now, if I'm a radical leftist maniac, right, and Disney turns me down, what do I do? I go to Netflix and I ask them. And if they turn me down, I have all these different avenues that I can take it, right? So what you do not do by canceling Netflix is stop the actual root cause of it, okay? It stops, because look at it, nobody wants this. Like this is, you're doing this to kids. No mom or dad, well, if you do, you're a weirdo, right? But no mom or dad wants this for their kids. So if you're looking at an actual business decision, and I had this, someone said this to me on X today, they were like, oh, it's a free market. It's not the free market. It is not the free market, right? Because you have so many barriers to entry. So for example, Brianna, if we want to go out and we want to do a movie about January the 6th, right? Even if I make it myself, where am I going to take it? I'm going to take it to Netflix, who has a deal with Obama. They're not going to take that documentary, right? Am I going to take it to Disney's not going to take that documentary. So then even if you make the movie yourself and it's a great product, and you have the money, you've made it, which for them, a lot of the times, all they do is purchase it, right? And they can negotiate a purchase price. But you have a barrier to entry to get it to the people. So it's not a free market in the sense that everyone's just looking at whether something is good or not to purchase. So although it's really important to boycott it, we have to build. And we are not good at building, Brianna. We're not. We do not back people on our side for the most part, that builds and gives a positive vision of where we're going. So that is, we need to change as conservatives and start backing people that are making content or will make content that is, has the values that we have. So it's okay canceling it. And by the way, as you said, Brianna, and listen, I'm guilty of it. When I saw Cuties, I'm like, done. Netflix is done. I'm canceling it. And then a couple of 3 years go by and you're like, my kids, you know, there's a couple of things I want them to watch. I'm going to go back because I don't have an alternative to go to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We haven't built it. So, and again, I'm guilty of that. I admit I'm guilty of it and I'm in the industry, but you know, I stopped making these stuff. By the way, just so you know, I had three projects come to me this year and this is how the canceling works. Three projects came to me, Brianna. And they're all morally objectionable to me. So I can't do them. You know, I can't go out there and do them. Yet, if you look at the stuff that's coming out from the left, and there's a major movie that's coming out next year that will be all over the Oscars. And two of the actors in it, one of them has trans kids. The other one is a trans. And you're looking like, who wants to watch this? So it's a systemic problem that we need to deal with, and not just by canceling, but by supporting shows like your show and the other conservative content makers. It really, really matters.
Yeah.
So we have to show a positive vision for the future.
Yeah, we do. We do. And I think, Matthew, you probably should get a head start on this, too, and start making your own cartoons, because we could use that. We could use these options these days. Matthew Marsden, we appreciate you jumping on with us today. Very, very impressive takes on that, because that's another angle that we haven't even really focused on. So we appreciate him. Give him a follow on X as well. Matthew, thank you for jumping on with us today. All right. There's more to unpack shortly. We're going to work our way through the list of callers in just a few moments. So give us a ring, 877-789-2539, and I'll see you in a second.
Yeah, the last stand super sale. InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week, today or tomorrow, actually, or even today. That's why we are launching this last stand super sale to fund the next operation and keep us in the fight in the information war. Buy any supplement at theyellowshowstore.com that's still funding InfoWars and get another bottle free while supplies last. That's a huge, biggest sell we can do. Plus, get 20% off store-wide. Woo! We've never done a sale. Actually, I'm reading this now. I've been so busy. I looked at the sale. This is the biggest sale ever. We've never done a sale this big, but we need your support now more than ever. Plus, some of this stuff's a lost leader. We know when you try the Ultimate Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Ultimate Life Force, the bovine colostrum, we've got the best. If we have 80%+ reorder rates on this stuff. Nobody's got that, folks. Just try it. You're supporting the broadcast, and then you're going to love it. You're going to be hooked. It's why the drug dealers hand out Oxycontin to kids on the school ground, because they want to get them addicted. Well, that's poison. This is good. I just am telling you, will you please stick your toe in? The water's warm. This sale could at any moment, so go now to thealexjonesstore.com, which I don't own, which Bigley owns, and so they're funding InfoWars and the new backup network, everything, so they can't shut that down. Thealexjonesstore.com. And take advantage of this amazing sale while ensuring we will never be taken off the air, even if they shut down this operation. InfoWars is just a name, but the InfoWar goes on. Remember, you are the InfoWar. Plus, download. Now, here's the big announcement. Bigley, again, owns the Alex Jones Network, all of it, and they launched this incredible app that shot up into the top of the charts in hours after being launched. I haven't looked since last night, but, you know, used to we had the number one app, remember, until they banned it. Number one in news. You think they like that? Well, we're back, sweethearts. And, and you'll ban this app, watch what happens. You'll get a nice little Justice Department investigation. You're in a different wheelhouse now. You go to AlexJonesApp.com, AlexJones app.com. Boy, the sound of that name. Alex Jones. The Satanists don't like it. It's like high noon to vampires. App users get special sales, promos, and discounts every day as well. But listen to the show for free, video, audio, all of it at the URL that the globalists and the pedos and the Satanists hate. AlexJonesApp.com. Be sure to get the app right now, folks, and share it right now. When you support us, when you go to the AlexJonesStore.com, you aren't just funding this information that's key to the world. You're keeping us in the fight, and the enemy cannot stand it.
Sure. I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, I have a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
American Journal. All right, it's our final lap in the third hour of the program, and we're excited that you are all with us today. I talk about it all the time. The mainstream media shies away from telling you stories like the next one I'm going to tell you about because they don't want you paying attention to what's going on. But again, even if it's not in the U.S., I want to talk about it just so you know what we're up against, because anything you see throughout Europe and other places usually comes and trickles its way down to the U.S. So this was a really important one, and I want to make sure it's on everyone's radar. Father Gusto Ballster, he's apparently a priest over in Barcelona. Well, unfortunately, he has been arrested and he's facing a trial. Now, if you're wondering why Father Ballster
was put on trial, or why he's going to be put on trial. Let me just kind of highlight this for you. Apparently, this is according to Rare Foundation, their group of independent journalists that dig into stories like this and bring it to the surface for us here in the United States. Apparently, they're going after him for hate crime charges stemming from his public criticism of Islam. Now, he's facing 3 years in prison right now. And again, this is really important because all he was doing was reading from the Quran and pointing out the violence within the Quran. Now, sadly, they are now going after this man. And although we're not hearing much from others who obviously work with him in Barcelona, but we're also not hearing much from the media. This is happening right now in Spain. And again, if it's happening in Spain, it's going to happen anywhere else. And so right now, the Rare Foundation is digging into all of this. But ultimately, they're saying that this is something that needs to be on everyone's radar, because these comments that they're alleging are hate comments, or maybe back in 2016, 2017. And now he's going on trial for it in 2025. So again, this is another person that we need to stand by, because you should be able to speak freely on these issues without being attacked. Now, again, this story up at the Rare Foundation's website, but ultimately they are just calling it out because they're saying that we've watched all of it and all he's doing is reading from the Quran and just pointing out what he deems as violent speech in the Quran. So on Monday, we're going to do a deep dive into all of this because I don't want this story to go away. I think we need to help this father. We need to help him. And so we're going to be having this into a much further in-depth discussion on Monday. We have a guest planned for it. It's going to be a great one. But again, we can't keep sitting here and abandoning our own. We can't keep doing this. All right. So I said I was going to take your calls. For those of you who've been calling in, we're working our way down the list. There's a lot of you on, and I'm very excited to have you all here. So let's kick things off with Jimmy in Texas. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Jimmy, I can hear you. Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. I was having a hard time with, when I first called in, I was in a house with a metal roof. I wanted to bellyache about public schools in Texas, if it's all right with you.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I used to be a mechanic, and but I decided that I ought to. I had a lot of parents that told me that they thought I'd be a good teacher because I was, I was pretty good with the kids and stuff. And I was the mechanic in business is, that's a dog-eat-dog cutthroat thing, and at least my experience with it was. So, anyway, I went to a school in Livingston, Texas, their school district there, and they said that I could observe in one of their classes, and I was observing in their auto mechanics class, and the guy said, hey, can you arrange to come back? Because you got some good credentials here. And he said, you can lecture. Well, I had not lectured in front of a class before. But anyway, I said, yeah, okay. And then while I was there, I visited the French department. And I speak un peu français. I took 4 years in high school. And then I clept out of 2 years of college. So I know a little bit. I'm probably speaking on about a four-year-old level. And anyway, so I go back, and I was also invited to go visit their French class. Well, after I lectured in the automotive or the auto repair class, the vocational, he said, at the end of the year, I'm quitting. He said, and besides, I'm certified, but he said my certification is in wood shop. And these kids, all they've learned all year long is how to replace spark plugs. Well, I can teach you how to replace a spark plug. You can probably know how to do it. And if you don't, you can learn real fast. But anyway, I said, wow, that's neat. Well, I had what they call a provisional certification from University of North Texas in Denton. And I think that was a result of Ross Perot's efforts in the late 80s to get Texas schools kind of halfway lined back up. And it said that I could be hired in any district as a certified vocational auto repair teacher at that time. And within 2 years, I had to take 18 hours of courses. Well, 18 hours of courses, that's a semester. You know, I could do that in 2 years. And anyway, so I took that provisional certification. I made a ton of copies of it, sent it all over the state, and nobody was interested. But I thought, at this school here, I found somebody that, you know, it can be a vacancy. And so I'll apply. Well, I was in the French class. Well, the French class was taught by this woman that it was on a TV, a closed-circuit TV, and they called it a tie-in program, T-I-I-N. And only, you know, she was teaching 20 districts, and only one day in 20 could you have a two-way conversation with her. You know, the rest of the time, it was just she's blabbing along, and if you don't pick up what she says, she just, you know, you can't talk to her. So this was a second-year French class. Well, I remember her asking the question, does anybody know how to say the word pink in French? And I whispered real low. I said, Rose, Rose. And
yeah.
They all looked at me. Yeah. Anyway, so...
Jimmy, it sounds like the answer to all of this is school choice, right? I mean, I would say probably school choice is the better option here.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, because the point I was going to try to, I know I'm going around and around and around, but the point I'm trying to make is, from what I can tell, and I've had a lot of experience in subbing and et cetera in Colorado and one time in Alaska and in Texas. And my point is, I don't know that certification tells anything except that you've been to 4 years of indoctrination on
Jimmy, I think you're spot on with that, and I want to thank you for your call today, because the certification, my sister is actually a teacher, and I know it far too well. This is what they want to indoctrinate the kids, and I think school choice is critical in all of this, and I appreciate your level of expertise on this front, because I think it's really, really important that we confront it. I want to get, because we got a lot of calls right now. Let's go to the next caller. Marianne, I know you've been on hold for a while. I want to thank you for being on hold, and let us know what's on your mind.
Okay. I watched Harrison's show yesterday on Friday, Thursday the 2nd, and I'm begging you to take a look at this woman who was on, because I want to know what you think of her, because I was very, very impressed. Her name is Dr. Carlin B.
Yeah, you know, I saw it. I didn't get to listen to the full thing. I was multitasking, but I know exactly. It was very interesting. I really thought that was an interesting one.
Then, a couple things, and I'll let you go. She actually came out and explained the reason why we're having a hard time taking control of or working with or fighting against Antifa. She said it's self-funded, small amounts from themselves and from people that they get money from, but small amounts. This is not Soros. It's not NGOs.
Yeah.
And the post, so you did hear it. And they want to destroy our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And they want to destroy parents' rights. The children belong to the community, and trans surgery will not be elective. It will be decided by the community.
Yeah.
And it's very much like the 1917 communist takeover in Russia.
Yeah, no, it is. And I want to thank you for calling. I want to also direct our audience. The interview you're referring to is actually right now up on band.video. And for those who haven't seen it, I know I was multitasking. It came up on my feed because I loved Harrison's tweets, and I do listen to a lot of his clips as well. I think I got maybe like 3 minutes into it. Then one of the dogs distracted me, but I'm going to dive back into that because Marianne, you make a lot of great points. So thank you. Next up, Hobbs in Nebraska. I want to thank you for calling in. I know you've been on hold for a while, so thank you for staying put. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna. Good morning and good to finally talk to you.
Good morning.
Before I go, I just wanted to plug products real quick. Methylene Blue is fantastic.
Thank you.
The Shilajit works wonders. The sea moss is great. And the X2 iodine, I still take that even after years. And that stuff is what really got me into trusting that Alex's supplements are top tier legit.
Yeah.
And a little bit of shameless personal plug. If anybody could please go on Rumble and look up my little podcast, Roads to Liberty. If you check last week's episode, I know there's been a lot of speculation on the Charlie Kirk murder. Last week's episode and the one before that, I went into it. I think I've got what happened, and I mean, some of these things out there are just absolutely crazy, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Oh, and you got an invite too if you ever feel the need to come down and slum it with us low viewer count people.
Thank you, thank you. You've got the Rumble page up, so thank you for that.
Yep, no problem. So what I called in about was I saw the other day, and I don't know if you guys have covered this or not, but Laura Loomer actually uncovered there was a guy working for the lead scientist for the human guided machine learning at the U.S. Army Research Laboratory in Maryland. It's a guy named Nick Waitowicz, I think is how you pronounce this. And he is also the founder of a company called Binary Brains LLC, who developed an app called Red Dot, which is one of these ice tracking apps. I don't know how this sort of things happen. As an Army veteran myself, I'm very embarrassed that they didn't do their due diligence on vetting this guy and his connections. But as we know, high IQ tech bro and progressive activist is a Venn diagram that's practically a perfect circle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that these people, and especially doing something like human-guided machine learning for the U.S. Army, probably need to do a little more research on the scientists that they've got doing their dirty work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We have to tweet up now. I actually missed this Loomer report. Loomer's great. I mean, she's been ahead of so much. And so this is one I actually missed. I don't know how. I subscribe to her on X too. She does a great job, but, that's something to definitely be on our radar too. I mean, the vetting process, you might as well just put Loomer in charge of the vetting process. She's probably more spot on than anyone I've seen thus far, especially over at the White House right now. So I would hire Loomer to do the vetting process for sure. Thank you for calling in. And Hobbs, also, thank you for talking about your experience over at the AlexJonesStore.com, because especially right now, I'm sure you've probably gone over there, but we have the incredible sale going on right now, the buy one, get one free on the supplements. And now's the time to stock up. If there's something there that you like, go there, head over there now, because there's a 20% off site-wide as well. So head on over right now to the Alex Jones store. And again, Alex is making all of these, you know, ways for both you to support us and also for you to stay in touch with us. And I don't know if you guys heard, but it's also another good one. The Alex Jones Network just launched their new app right now. It's over at the App Store. You got to head on over there because everyone's downloading it right now. I was watching yesterday in my feed as it was moving up in the best download segments, like I should not say segments, I'm doing TV mime, but the chart, yeah. So the free app chart right now is actually currently number 2, and I was watching as it was moving its way up on the other other list. So you definitely want to head over there right now and download that. That's the AJN Live app. Everyone's downloading it. It's how you're going to stay in touch with us as everything continues to develop. But, you know, Hobbs, thank you for jumping on with me. I appreciate that. And now I have more work. I totally missed the Loomer report on that one. So it's good to hear. It's good to hear. All right. I want to get to our next caller. Let's get to our next one. Andrew in New Jersey. I hear you have something on your mind. And thank you for waiting on hold. I know it was quite the time. So we appreciate you being here.
Great to be here. I love the wide range of accents on InfoWar, the British guy, then the Southern guy, and Savage Dog. And when I hear Savage Dog, I'm hopeful because your next senator hopefully is going to be Herschel Walker from Georgia. And the Southern accent, I could link that into the vaccines. Because when I was at Fox 56 in Pennsylvania, Wilkes-Barre, I was not required to get the vaccine, maybe because Pennsylvania had different laws. But then I worked at C-SPAN, and it was required in New York. And I was kind of like ashamed of myself, and I kept thinking, I wish I worked for InfoWars, and I could be my own man. But CVS, I was in South Carolina, and they would promote the flu vaccine. But it's like a trick because the pretty Southern accent, they're like, you all know, it's, you know, the announcement comes when you're in the store. You all know it's cold and flu season. So y'all go ahead and get your vaccine, your flu shot. You hear? Like you hear the southern voice. It's like, but I still don't get the flu shot. But I want to say, my body, my choice. The difference with abortion is that that's not your body. The woman's killing their offspring. It's not their body. And when I was vaccinated, I got like stroke-like symptoms. So now I'm medically exempt. The side of my head was pounding. And then I lost like strength in both of my arms, especially my right. But I fully recovered.
I'm sorry to hear that, though. Exempt. Yeah.
I just want to say, lastly, if you don't get the bad Chinese food, post some of your pictures. Your food is amazing. My mom's Italian, and I admit the way you cook, it's much more well-refined. But my wife is from Thailand, and she beats you with the Italian food because when she makes just regular pasta, she uses the wok, and she puts the sauce in the wok with chopped meat and veggies and stir-fries it and keeps it separate from the pasta and puts it on top. It's just so awesome, delicious. It's like less greasy the way she makes it. And lastly, with the Vegas, like the shutdown, saving money, that's what I explained to my wife. She doesn't like the joke that I say that I was not worried when we went to Vegas that she would lose money because she's an Asian immigrant, so she's good with money. But it's like you said, you learn. She taught me to be better with money. So they need to learn, you know, it's our money. It's not just like Monopoly money. But post some of those pictures if you do cook and don't go with the bad Chinese food.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Bad Chinese food. Have a great weekend. Bad Chinese food. No more. No more. And that's an interesting Italian-Asian twist to things. Maybe I'll have to give it a try. I do have one at home as well, so we'll give that a shot. So thank you for calling, and I appreciate it. Okay, I want to go to Douglas, because Douglas, I hear you have a lot on your mind, and I want to thank you for waiting on hold.
Yeah. Pleasure to meet you, and great guest, great interview.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anytime. As Americans, we are to support our president, and we do. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult because we don't know the rules. We don't have to know everything that he's doing every time, but we need to know the rules because it's a game for them. And we're flying blind. And they're at war with us. And the game is called Play for Blood. And COVID was designed to destroy mine, ours, all of us. And we need disclosure for all the black programs, the deep state, and an abolishment of the secrets. It's time. And then we can vote for whatever we have to support our president. Lastly, I'm a VIP Prime member, and I support Alex Jones and everything that he does. He's 100% on, and his products are great. I was trying to do it on my own before that, but when I got a hold of his stuff, it just rounded everything out for me.
I love that. Douglas, what specific, if you don't mind sharing, what over at thealexjonesstore.com do you like the most? Because this helps others.
No, I love the methylene blue, mm-hmm. the ultimate methylene blue. It's great. I didn't have any effects from it because I was already cleaning my system out and working on some other things. But when I say effects, I mean like hands tingling and feeling the power and all that stuff, but it added to what I was doing, and I'm seeing the benefit after the weeks that I've been using it. I've lost over 50 pounds.
Wow!
So it's been great. I think that's you know, a testament to how much he cares about what he's doing. So I thank him, and I thank everybody there, and the provider that's taking care of it, making sure his product gets out. It's great. I've got a big box of it today, as a matter of fact.
I love that. Well, Douglas, I like to hear these types of stories because I don't think people realize I lost 35 pounds by just figuring out how to eat better, how to eat cleaner, and then to figure out what vitamins worked for me. And so it's good to hear from other people who have, you know, gone over to the shop, purchase what they needed, and to hear that these things are working for you, because you can't trust the obviously big pharmaceutical companies. We all know this. And so we all need to take charge of our own health, because the reality of it is, you know, President Trump's under attack. So many people are under attack, but our personal health's under attack. They can make a lot of money if we're sick, if we're overweight. And so the best way to get in that fight is to become healthier. And I think that's the main reason why Alex has made all of these vitamin lines and everything else easily accessible for the audience. It's a matter of getting us in front of this health war and fighting back and pushing back. So I want to thank you for that. That was really important too, as well as everything else you said, but that to me is key. It's something I'm passionate about too when it comes to health. I'm like a MAHA supporter, obviously not taking the vaccines and going out there and changing how I eat and what I eat and how I simply do things like I don't use plastic anymore. I don't use sterilized containers. I now switched over to glass everything because of all the chemicals that are in plastic. And so it's a fight that we're all in on. And, you know, it's up to you if you're going to take on that fight. So thank you for that, Douglas. I appreciate it. And again, to remind our audience, we have the best sale that I've seen thus far over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now. This is the time to buy because it's buy one, get one free. And it is our last stand super sale. So that means we don't know when they're going to close the front door on us. It could be today. It could be next week. We just don't know. And so we want to do this. So this helps us in our next operation that we are going to create. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Because not only is it buy one, get one free while supplies last, but it's also 20% off store-wide. So like Douglas, if you're trying to take charge of your health, now's the time to do just that. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We greatly appreciate it when you do so. You know, someone put this on they sent this actually to me on Twitter, and I want to highlight this. It's a Newsweek article that I think it just dropped right now, and it shows a map of the 14 states offering healthcare to illegal aliens. And they're mapping it all out for you. And of course, no surprise here, they're all blue states. So again, I know earlier in the show, and this was sent in by one of you, of course, so I'm grateful for this, and I love it when you guys send me these things. It just highlights a lot of things. It highlights, though, when Democrats sit there and tell you that they're not advocating for free healthcare for illegal aliens, and in fact, they are. They are doing just that. And so it's infuriating, but Newsweek, obviously, it's not a conservative media outlet, calling it out, whether it's probably indirectly, though. But again, this needs to be said. I mean, I was in New York, obviously grew up in New York, and I sat there and I watched as our state gave free tuition, free health care, driver's licenses. And I just, you know, you have to toss up your hand and say, enough is enough. I'm not a second class citizen in this country and I'm out. And so I left and went to Florida like so many do. But it highlights exactly what we're telling you about and what they're denying is true. But we all know it's true, of course. Well, guys, it's another great edition of the American Journal. It's Friday, so I hope you all have a quite lovely weekend. I will be heading over to the farmer's market. It's my favorite thing to do on Saturdays, support your local farmers and to buy local and organic. Also very important if you can do that. So that's what I'll be doing this weekend. So I hope you all have an incredible weekend. I'll be back here on Monday. Obviously, as you guys know, Alex coming up next, but I want to remind you all to head on over to the App Store right now and download the brand new app because it's rising to the top of the charts. Give it a go. Download the AJN Live app right now over at alexjonesapp.com. Head on over there right now. Stay in touch with us. You never know when that front door will be locked, so we want to stay in touch. Have a great weekend. Alex is next.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. You know, it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it. Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!